The only bigotry that you'll be seeing tonight is my big fat.
And then you go, and then you cut him off.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Look at Tiny Hat, dude.
Oh, good. Now I'm the king of the podcast.
Beautiful tiny battle top hat.
Hey guys, it's your old pal James. Welcome to the Kung Fu Kings of Geekdom podcast.
Oh man, we're recording already?
Yeah.
Oh nice.
We were recording, it was a surprise record.
Woo.
That's my signature move. Welcome.
To surprise record.
Guys.
But I'm naked.
Guys.
I'm not ready.
I'm unsightly.
Yeah, guys.
Don't look at me.
The fans have been waiting for this episode for months.
I know.
Years,
I've gotten
perhaps.
A lot of calls from our fans. I don't know how they found my number, but they've been clamoring for
this. I've been getting mail in my mailbox.
From pigeons.
From carrier pigeons
and
all
owls.
Over, and they've been saying,
I've been getting notes in my sleep.
Under his pillow.
Delivered, personally. And they all say, when's the Frankie Muniz episode?
When's the Frankie Muniz themed podcast coming?
Well.
Damn, those girls can eat.
It's this week.
Here we go. Applause. No, applause. Yeah,
did you introduce yourself?
Guys.
Oh, sorry.
I'm your host, James Halleck.
Yep. Hashtag Phallics.
And here with me, hashtag Phallics. If you're a fan, hashtag Phallics.
And then we got
with
over
me,
here.
We got, hey.
Wait.
I'm doing
I can
intros.
Introduce myself.
Well, I thought James was leading it in.
Oh, sorry. All right. My bad. I was just so excited because we're all here together.
To my left, I have my favorite co-host, Hiram Corbin.
Damn. I'm also to the left.
And then also to the left is my second/first, also my least favorite co-host.
Besides yourself.
No.
Jake, what's my name?
Yeah, besides me, Jake Smith.
Okay, Jake Smith.
Jake Smith,
and if
Smith,
you're fans
baby.
Of me and Hiram, our joint co-hostness, hashtag blacksmiths.
Blacksmiths.
That's us.
Was that a cell phone?
Guys, I feel like I've got something to say. I feel like so many of our fans are finally gonna know what these sound clips are now that we have it like
clean
put in.
I think that's what they've been waiting for the most is a clean version of the soundboard.
Yeah,
prepare.
I think so. Like this.
That
sounds so much clean.
Yeah,
prepare for like a soundboard heavy podcast episode.
Oh yeah.
Who the hell is interrupting my kung fu?
You should say that when someone's got a point and they're talking and then someone cuts them off. You should.
Yeah.
Say
who the hell is interrupting my kung fu?
Oh, hang on. Let me three way.
God,
you
love
still
that one.
Have that
you
one?
You love that one. And I listened back to some of the other ones, and you've snuck it in where we had no idea.
Yeah, well, it's hard to hear over Skype, but that's what I take advantage of.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Okay. We've gotten them all out of the way in the first 5 seconds. Guys, what are we talking about to start off this podcast? What movie did we just see?
Guys, I just saw a movie called King's Man, The Secret Service 2.
Kingsman.
The Secret Service 2, The Golden Circle.
The Golden
Golden
Elliptical.
Let me play the intro music. I have some bad news.
What's wrong?
I've deleted the Indiana Jones song from the
You did? How did you
board.
Do that?
About damn time.
Wait,
well,
purpose?
I had to.
Why?
I needed to make space.
And you deleted your favorite joke.
Well, I figured it had run its
James
course.
Makes for us, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
He's really he's really given a lot.
Dude, that last one though, when he played it, and you were like, "All right," you were like, "I'm getting a little old of that, sick of that." That was funny.
I like how we're going to skip to the news to go right into Kingsman: Secret.
Well, screw the news.
Well,
that's what
really
I always
think
say.
Think of any like quality
well,
news? Can you?
Well, not quality
it's
news,
all fake
news, but terrible ones.
Hiram's got
oh,
some.
Oh no,
news.
Hiram's got
like,
some.
Like,
lay it on us.
They have a new Tomb Raider movie coming out. Did we
oh,
already talk
oh,
about
trailers.
That?
Oh,
we
got to
talk about the
trailers,
right?
Yeah, trailers.
Right.
How can we forget?
So, yeah, start us off, Hiram. Didn't you like that Tom B. Raider movie coming out?
No, it's a Tom B. Raider.
It looks pretty good.
No, in fact, I haven't. Like,
into the water.
Yeah, it was the most badass thing to like jump in into the sea. Slow motion.
Well, see, they used a shot that like that type of shot is usually for when they're jumping to like a ledge, and you're like, will they make it? But the only option,
super high building or something.
Yeah, but the only option is she lands in the water,
and she's probably safe.
Yeah,
unless there's a big rock.
My money is on that she lands in the water when the movie actually happens. We'll have to watch it and see. We'll have to find out.
I gotta play devil's. I have to play devil's avocado. She may land somewhere else.
Where? Like where?
Lands
like
in a different state.
She lands in a. She probably lands on like a shark or sea turtles, mate.
Maybe she lands in another movie.
She lands onto a sea turtles, and then she rides it to safety.
She rides it with her back hair to safety.
Oh no.
She cuts her ponytail off and straps all the turtles.
That was for Rachel Leach in the back.
Yeah.
And then hashtag, what is it? Weech's Peaches or something?
Leechy Weechy.
Weech's Peaches.
Leechy Weechy.
Leechy Weechies.
Yeah.
Babe. Babe.
But yeah, so Tomb Raider quality, right?
Oh boy.
Oh,
there
God,
are shots,
no.
You were saying, there are shots that look like it could be good.
Yeah,
and then
see
there's
the
shots.
Yeah,
that,
when they're not doing like wacky CGI spectacle where she's like, whoa, going around, it looks like it could be cool. Like in the shot where she's falling, like smashes her face on that log. I'm like, that looks like they're not trying to just make this like a, oh, everything's fine, like pop around type of movie.
But then she's on that airplane and she does that crazy like double tap A jump, you know?
Yeah,
jump.
And it makes that sound. She goes,
She goes, "Ah!" Well, that's what the new Tomb Raider games are known for. When you die, she's very sexual. When she dies,
she's like,
death has never felt so good.
I'm dying so good right now.
Okay, how about they make a little sense? How about you pick some sounds that make sense with the conversation?
All right, I'll make some dying sounds.
That was all right. Yeah,
cool.
All right. Okay, so moving on.
Anyways,
moving on.
What's the other trailer we watched? We watched the Jennifer Lawrence movie, the Red Sparrow trailer.
The Red Sparrow.
Where she is damn sexy.
Damn sexy. Ooh.
So sexy. Well, the thing about it is Jennifer Lawrence is that type of actress where, you know, she's very pretty. But I've never been like,
I would never compliment her, though, because, like, you remember when the guy told her, like, take off your dress, and he got killed.
Oh, yeah. And he got murdered, dude.
He got murked.
She's not going to, like, date anybody from now on after that movie.
Like, ice. I'm like, damn.
There's, like, a newspaper clipping that comes out. Jennifer Lawrence has killed all of her ex-boyfriends. Oh, fuck.
Any man that compliments her or told her to do something, like, send me nudes. And, like, she, like, sends, like, a missile from, like, outer space.
I'll send you nudes.
I'll send you nudes, alright. Nukes.
She just thinks it was a typo. Did you say nukes?
Nukes.
On their way.
That was
Isn't that
was
the
good.
Sound of them dying?
Yes.
But yeah, Red Sparrow, what do you think? I'm not interested too much.
I might see it one day.
Oh, I might, if it's on TV.
I might be worthy to check out, honestly.
Hey, who knows?
I wouldn't pay money to see it, though.
It's like I didn't see Mother.
I probably will never.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like
I
a film
it
for me.
Good, and then everyone I've talked to who saw it says it was trash.
Well, the thing is, if you think it looks good from the commercials,
that means
nothing, because apparently the commercials are cut in a way to make it look like a completely different movie than it is.
Yeah, which is cool to do that, but then I heard that it's the actual thing you get is not good. But I might see it.
Yeah, who knows?
Aww.
Man, you're on top.
Mother. On point.
That's for Mother.
Aww.
Oh, you tried. What's the other trailer we saw?
Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh yeah, they had a new trailer for that.
So this looks like a mystery thriller movie.
Yeah. I liked the trailer because I got to see more, but it'd be cooler if the first trailer was the only trailer.
Yeah, I probably won't watch anymore because I'm going to see the movie. I think it looks cool.
I feel like if they put out another trailer, it will like spoil a lot for us.
Yeah. It'll reveal too
Listen,
much.
Man, if you put Daisy Ridley and the girl from Sing Street in a movie, I'll see it regardless of what it is.
Too.
Unless they're just doing voice acting. If it's an animated movie, I'll be like, well, now you got to earn my trust another way.
Yeah, because you're not attracted to animated girls.
Hey, but
of course not.
Johnny Depp
no.
is in it.
Who told you that?
Never.
Never. Who
Don't
told you that?
Check my browser history.
Please.
It's just animated girls.
Just animated girls.
I just search animated.
but black dynamite. I sell drugs to the community.
I forget how funny it is until I hear it. Because you can say it, I sell drugs, but he's got something in his voice.
I sell drugs in the community.
Yeah, that end part.
Did you like the trailer I showed you guys? The one with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
What's it called again? It's called A Beautiful Day is the French title, I'm pretty sure. And
then I don't know the American title.
You Were Never Really Here is the American title, maybe?
Joaquin Phoenix?
No, it's Joaquin.
Juan Queen.
J-U-A-N.
Queen.
Queen. Q-W-E-E-N.
Yeah.
Phoenix. F-E-E-E-N-X.
N-X. Phoenix.
So you were
He's
never...
Lithuanian.
So the title's You Were Never Here?
I think it was.
Is that the sequel to Now You See Me?
Now You See Me in the sequel. You Were Never
You Were
really
Never Here. And the guy, I Wasn't the Audience disappears.
Because
that's the trick.
We made them all
we've
disappear.
We've seen the magician disappear way too many times. Now the audience disappears.
That's the ultimate magic trick. The ultimate prestige.
Yeah, that's the prestige.
The ultimate prestige.
And turn.
But yeah, I think it looks cool. It looks like a taxi driver, taxi driver. And I like Joaquin Phoenix being in something that looks cool, because the last movie I saw, and it might be bad, because I saw Inherent Vice, and that trailer was awesome. And
ooh,
I was like,
scary.
Oh, this looks so cool. And then it sucked. So I hope this one doesn't do it.
That happens a lot, you know? What can you do?
Sounds while you're talking.
Well, I was trying to time it, all right?
It's hard to do my job. I want to know you guys' thoughts on this trailer came out like a while ago, but like we just saw the trailer in theaters, and I was like, "What are you guys going to think about The Foreigner?" Starring Jackie Chan.
Dude,
I'm so in.
Good.
Jackie Chan's Liam Neeson movie. I feel like there's like a string of like these movies coming out. Like ever since Taken came out, like there's just been like movies where it's just like badass protagonist that just kills everyone.
Yeah, and they're older.
The
Equalizer.
Yeah.
Like
John
The Equalizer,
Wick.
John Wick.
Yeah.
Like Atomic Blonde. Like there's been a lot of them.
I love it though.
I think
it's so good.
John Wick's the best one.
Well, it is the best so far. But
it is the
dude,
best.
What if The Foreigner
is like
even better?
Yeah, because like The Foreigner has Jackie Chan action in it, and you know, like directors like say you could do what you want, Jackie. Like you know what you're doing more than I do.
Yeah, my only thing with that is that from the trailer it looks like they're doing a lot of like close up shaky cam stuff,
show it all.
Yeah, because in John Wick they're like, here's just a wide shot because our choreography is awesome.
Because you don't need to shake the camera to make Jackie Chan look good.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like Jackie Chan probably wouldn't let that happen because he's fucking.
He'd be
Jackie
shaking
Chan.
Like this, and Jackie Chan would go, "Stop,
stop,
you're fired.
Stand still."
What's wrong with you?
Because like Jackie Chan is like 60 something years old and he still kicks ass, and like you don't want to shake a cam on that. You have to watch it all.
That scene in the trailer where he goes around the corner of the fridge and he shoots, and he's like, "Whoa!" He looks up and Jackie Chan pounces.
He pounces. Jackie Chan's skill is more than you can shake a cam at.
Wow.
Oh, good. That's almost as good as the samurai shampoo joke from last time.
Oh, come on, man. This was way faster.
Oh, my God. We were in Walmart
today. You're working on your speed.
Me and James were in Walmart today. He's like, oh, man, there's no samurai shampoo over here.
They only have friggin' Dove.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like Jackie Chan isn't, like, used to being in movies like these anyway. He's used to being, like, comedy movies.
Yeah, comedy action.
Comedy action. That's kind of his thing. Like, except for Police Story, like that whole series was kind of like it has comedy elements, but for the most part, it's pretty edgy. But that's as edgy as he's ever gotten in his whole career. And now he's doing The Foreigner, and I'm just.
And he looks so like weathered and grizzled in this movie.
Yeah, I was going to say it's just like a gritty Jackie Chan.
He looks his face every scene. He looks like fuck this. That's what he looks. Like.
Fuck this.
Fuck this. His daughter blows up. Fuck this. I'm just going to kill everyone.
He burns the only picture of his family. I was just like, you could have kept that.
What if it had been his dog in there, like John Wick, and his dog had blown up and he had to kill everyone? Like, oh. I wish they were all themed around dogs. I wish all of these, like, Taken movies, like, they took his dog.
Because you never, they, like, a guy, an assassin would never do that if his cat was blown up. Nobody would give a shit. Just like, oh, my cat.
And he goes, well. You got me. That's good. You got even me. The biggest soundboard doubter. And you got me.
That was one of the best soundboard gags
ever.
That
was good. That was good. Do Quentin was gay just because I see the button and it makes me laugh.
Quentin was gay.
Clinton was gay.
Clinton was gay.
And then John Travolta proceeds to murder her. Like throwing her on the train tracks. Clinton was gay. Bitch. Train
tracks. Green corn. No. That's exactly cream what his wife, John Travolta's wife said in The Punisher.
Cream corn. As she got run over.
Alright.
What else? We watched a few.
We watched
Isle of Dogs.
Dude, Isle of Dogs was
I think
awesome.
I missed that because I was asleep when you were watching.
Well, Hiram's, yeah, Hiram always falls asleep.
He was tired. He was tuckered out. Oh, yeah, Hiram's live. We're all in this the podcast live this week.
Yeah, I don't know if you can tell. I don't know.
I hope the quality
is
good.
You can definitely tell.
Well, yeah. You prove it. Ask me something.
Hey, Hiram, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
I love he didn't even answer
JK,
my
guys, I'm still in Savannah.
That he didn't answer my question, though. He had all that time to think about it. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up?
All right.
We should ask Hiram a question and do the clock ticking down, the Jeopardy.
Yeah. The.
Hey, Hiram, so what's life like lately?
Titties.
All right,
Hiram, you're the man.
Oh yeah, nothing but.
I'm hashtagging blacksmiths.
Hashtag yeah.
You gotta hashtag this.
We gotta hashtag ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
But Isle of Dogs. Back to
Isle of Dogs. Let me tell you about this movie. There's dogs in it.
There's
not. They're
Isle.
Not real. They're stop
claymation,
motion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the stop motion looks good. I like it.
It looks awesome. Well, have you seen Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Nope.
Oh well, you should because it's awesome.
I will.
It's fantastic.
I'll put it on the list.
Hiram.
Yes, I have.
This
I think.
Is a lot like it's the same humor and the same like way of delivering.
Same Wes Anderson
and
humor.
Yeah.
I wonder if it
and
exists
it
in the
so
same
funny.
Universe.
Maybe there's an Isle of fantastic foxes.
Yeah, and then they take the mediocre foxes and they send them away
to caves.
Yeah,
to die.
And then there's Cave of Mediocre Foxes. There's another movie that's coming.
Cave
out.
Of Wonders.
There's a whole universe of franchise.
Of,
and then they all team up
of regions that are designated to certain animals.
Like
Mountain of Cats.
Mountain of Cats.
Oh man, I can't wait to see that movie.
Our background audience would like that.
You like Mountain of Cats?
I do like cats.
Guys, not only are all three of us live in studio
we're
today.
We're all alive.
But we do have our biggest fan slash occasional, yeah, our groupie slash occasional live studio audience member, Rachel Leach, hashtag Leachy Weech. Here in the studio. All right, well, let's move on
well,
all from right. that.
Isle of Dogs looks really
looks
good.
It looks good, yeah.
I feel like we're just going trailer looks bad. Trailer looks good, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why we should get into something deep.
I haven't seen any game trailers recently. I need to watch more of them because I'm sure there's more that have been coming out, but I haven't.
Well, the biggest one I'm like looking forward to right now, and I know it's not for a while, is The Last of Us 2.
Oh yeah.
But what about Shadow of War?
Oh, that comes out soon, dude.
Yeah, it comes out
that
next
first
month.
One, so good.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, Cuphead.
Oh yeah, did that came out or it's
I think
coming
it's
out
either,
like a week?
Yeah,
right?
But I think it's coming out this week.
Whoa.
Are you gonna get it somehow?
Hell yeah, I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it like I think it comes out on Microsoft Windows too.
Yeah,
I
it's
think.
On PC if you yeah.
Hiram, so are you gonna wear a cup on your head while you play this game?
Yeah, I'm wearing my mug filled with hot tea.
Filled with hot tea.
Wow.
That's gonna hurt your face.
Yeah,
is.
That's probably painful.
But I watch Drunken Master a lot of times so I can, you know, I can balance the cup on my head really nicely. Trust
oh,
me.
I got you. You're not wearing the cup as like a face. You've
no,
got to balance
no,
on top of your
I
fro.
Balance it while I'm
but
playing
your fro
a game.
Is so bouncy, like a Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Ooh, yes, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Sometimes I just want to sleep in it.
Yeah.
I just want to get my sleeping bag and
I like
nestle
the sound
myself
of that.
Betwixt your fro hairs.
Fro hairs. Oh, guys, save the
Whoa.
Date. Possible Infinity War trailer dropping this week, Friday.
Ooh. Friday, whoa. Oh man, you know we're going to be talking about that.
We're going
yeah,
to be talking
the talking
hell
that
out
so
of that,
much.
Man.
Because we talked about the leaked one for like
half that
for a
episode.
While, and like
episode,
we've been
yeah.
having like a lot of our conversations have been segueing into Infinity War because it's going to be such a massive
so
film.
Is it? Yeah. Gonna be, it's going to be the same trailer, right?
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. But, like, I mean, like, I saw an interview, like, when they were interviewing people at D23. It's like, the Russo brother, like, I think Joe Russo was talking about, like, we're preparing a trailer to be released. So I think it's going to be a different.
A little bit different.
Yeah. A little bit different.
I hope it's more.
It'll have higher quality.
Well, the thing is, based on the rumor, they're showing it during Inhumans, which I've heard is real, real bad. So they're like, please watch it.
They're tricking people into watching Inhumans.
I sure won't.
It's inhuman to make us watch that show.
Yeah.
To watch this trailer.
I kind of want to watch it to see how bad it is.
Yeah, why don't you do that, bad, Hiram? It kind of piques my interest.
Yeah,
Hiram, give us a report.
Yeah, I will, actually. That will be my homework.
Yeah.
We'll
do a Hiram's Inhumans corner.
Because I never watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but, you know.
I watched it when they had Ghost Rider on. I watched that one episode.
Was it worth it?
He was awesome. But then the show around it and all the characters, I was like, I don't care about
it. So, like, what do you think about him, like, compared to, like, Nicolas Cage?
He didn't leave as big of an impression on me as Nicolas Cage, in a good or a bad way. Nicolas Cage has left a mark on my life in a way that no one else can.
Yeah.
I hate that actor.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Everything? Have you seen Raising Arizona?
No, I do. I did love him in National Treasure, but everyone loves him in National Treasure. But I hated him in Ghost Rider because he was all about stealing the National.
Well, the second one where he's crazy in it.
He was like,
it was like the camera was zoomed in on his face while he was riding really fast.
Can you do that hated again? That movie. You sounded like the Gungan from Phantom Menace. All right, and Liam Neeson half smiles and goes, "We're friends." Me and this
Orlando Brown from That's a Ravens was like, that's how I oh wait no that's that joke's too dirty for the podcast. For this podcast
we get dirty on this podcast.
Yeah, we get super. I was gonna make a fellatio joke, but I didn't want to. Well,
we need more fellatio.
Well, like comedy. In an interview for interview with Orlando Brown like a long time ago, he made like a joke about eating out Raven Simone's vagina.
He did.
And he was like, and everybody was like, what the fuck is that noise?
Dude, that's weird, man. Did the interviewer, was he weird about it?
I think he was. He was just like, what?
He was like Billy Bushing it, like, yeah man, for sure.
I'm like, why would you make a joke about eating out Raven Simone's vagina? That's not cool.
Yeah. I wanted it to cut to her going, like, had her hand on her forehead, like,
I wish she had.
Oh, Orlando. Oh, my bad.
All right, so who wants to get into Kingsman?
I would love to get into Kingsman.
Wow, wait a second.
Until we talk about it.
Kingsman 2, interesting, because I liked it a lot.
Apparently the movie sucks according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I just went in and saw it, walked out, and then you guys told me it had a 55 on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
The last time I checked it at a 55, here's what I don't understand.
Which is too low.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't like it that much, it's not a 55. It's
look,
a quality.
Guys, let's be honest. Like, Rotten Tomatoes is not right all the time, okay? They gave The Grinch with Jim Carrey a low...
You're
23%.
Boo.
That's incorrect.
That is when I gave up on Rotten Tomatoes and I didn't take them seriously.
Right, that is completely incorrect.
Which was when that movie came out in 2003.
James, were you going to say something?
Even as a kid.
I'm going to say... Well, I was going to say something similar to what Jake said, which is where this movie has problems, but...
And we'll get into that.
The way that Rotten Tomatoes works is you pretty much have to say, like... Is this a good movie?
Yes or no.
Yes or no. Did you like this movie? Yes or no. And I feel like nowadays so many people are like, it has to be perfect, otherwise it sucks. And so this movie has like a few, it's not as good as the first one, but that doesn't automatically mean it sucks. It's still a solid movie, and the first movie is amazing.
And
this movie is like still really solid, so like.
But even on the contrary to that, the first one's really good too, but if you watch it again, it still has problems, but that doesn't make it not good.
Yeah.
And this one has... probably equally as many problems if we were to sit and compare them side by side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As in terms of plot holes or anything like that. Which, it's such a fun movie, you don't sit there and think about the plot holes.
It is. It really is a fun movie. It's like, even though it's not as quality as the first one, it does...
Like, what are some things that brought it down?
Here, wait a second.
We can talk about
that. Spoiler alert.
Well, we're going to be spoiling Kingsman, so...
Okay, so, I think... I don't know, the way... The way they brought back Harry
Yeah, here's the thing. Me and Hiram were both talking about that. And it ended, I think, in the end, them resolving his amnesia and him being in the final battle, he came back and redeemed, like, it made up for him being, like, kind of, it felt like, you know.
He was
kind
of thrown in.
Thrown into a little bit. But he redeemed himself by the end. But in the middle of it, we were like, I don't know if they should have brought him back. You know?
Yeah, yeah, like, when we, like, as soon as he showed up, I'm like, oh, man, they, I don't know why they
when
did
they
that.
Tried doing it the first time, like, trying to drown him to revamp his memory the first time after it didn't work, and she was like, it's over. I was like, they shouldn't have brought him back.
Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know if this felt right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I like the way they did it the whole time, because I thought, like, originally you see the trailer, and these movies have such a goofy universe they've set up that mm-hmm. I assume that he's just going to be, like, back, and he's back in action.
Yeah.
But then the fact that they were like, no, it's going to take some work to get him there. Like,
I almost
like that.
Think it would have been better if he was just back in action, to be honest. Because I already accepted that he was back because they showed him in the trailers. And I was like, oh, he's back, I'm fine with that. But then they were like, oh, no, he has amnesia. You know?
But I like seeing Colin Firth be able to sort of play two different sides where you could clearly tell.
The butterfly guy.
Yeah, like just in his acting, you could tell when he switched and like remembered, you know? He just act like,
oh, yeah,
like
no,
how
a great
he became
actor.
More confident.
He's a great, I just felt like if he was not in there, it would have been more a little bit emotionally impactful for Eggsy.
Yeah.
Because of how Eggsy admired him and looked up to him, he would want to be a spy like, you know, like Harry.
And
yeah.
If that whole final battle had been him and then Merlin gets blown up, which was sad.
It was, yeah.
A good scene. And it was just Eggsy left, I think he still could have. He could have fought all the people.
He could have, yeah.
He would have teamed up with
Elton John. Him and Elton John.
Him and Elton John, which brings me to the best part of the movie. Elton John.
Go. Elton John doing that freaking dive kick.
He did a kick to someone in the face.
He was awesome.
That was glorious.
Listen, yeah, if you're thinking back on this movie, like, do I want to give this a positive or a negative
think
score?
About Elton
all
John.
You have to think about is Elton John karate kicking a goon in the face
in a
slow
peacock
motion.
Outfit, dude.
It's...
Like, in a peacock of all things.
If you don't like that shot, I don't want to be your friend.
Eat dicks if you don't like that shot.
Ooh,
eat
shot
dicks.
Fired.
Like Elton John himself.
He would eat a dick. He would enjoy it. He loves it. And it's fine. And it's fine.
Yeah.
Quentin was gay.
And so is Elton
and
John.
And so is Elton John.
And still is.
Oh man, that scene where the dog was about to kill Harry and like Elton John like popped his head into the shot.
And yeah, he's like, hey. And he smiled.
And he smiled. And it was like, oh, the dog was like, oh, I can't kill Elton John.
And then when the lady finally goes, kill Elton John. Just that line.
The way it said it. She never thought in her career that she would ever act in a part to be like, kill Elton John.
I think that's what swung Julianne Moore. She read the script. Oh, I get to say kill Elton John?
I'm in. But it's funny because like in this movie, a lot of stuff that you think is just like there's a throwaway joke ends up like meaning something to the story later on.
Like.
Which I think is part of what makes it a good movie. Like, mm-hmm. You see Elton John hiding out, like, eavesdropping early on, and the dogs come up, and it says, like, Elton John, friend.
And it comes back.
And then it, like, leaves, and you're like, oh, that was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later on, when he pops his head in, you're like, oh, I get it.
Oh, full circle.
Yeah.
It does come full circle.
I love that he started out as a cameo. We're like, oh, Elton John. And then he was, like, a main character.
I know. I really want him to be, like part of the series now.
Elton
like,
John had more screen time than Lancelot did.
And Channing Tatum.
And Channing
and
Tatum.
Channing Tatum. Elton John was a bigger... He should have been in the trailers. And Elton John.
I was sad when... Lancelot's the girl, right?
Yeah, dang.
When she
that
died,
made
that made me sad.
That made me so sad, too. Because, like, that was really... that was a lot of potential for another agent to, like, have her hands on, like,
the
assignment.
I think if just the dog had died, it would have been sad enough.
Yeah, but Rachel's giving me a thumbs down. But imagine how,
has
like...
she been alive?
Yeah. No, she's giving me a thumbs down to the fact that they killed her. But my whole thing is, like... then it would be, like, way too convenient if it was, like, a bomb went off, but it only killed the members of the Kingsmen that we don't know.
And the dog.
And the dog. Like,
what if Julianne Moore cut to her and she goes, I got the one I wanted, the dog.
The dog.
She sent that missile to kill just the dog. He's the mind behind the Kingsmen, the pug.
But
the
Rachel,
pug.
At the end of the day, aren't you just supposed to think of them as characters if they're all well-written?
Not necessarily, because we're still in the struggle where we don't have enough female.
We're in the struggle.
Yeah.
One of the robot dogs was a girl.
Yeah, confirmed.
I've always wanted.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. And his.
I think Rachel. Rachel says as the women the they feel misrepresented or like not represented enough.
Yeah but her her impact on the movie was where when she died, I felt it. If she had just died, and I was like, I don't give a shit, you know. But I cared because she was cool in the last movie.
Yeah, that means they had a good character.
And they killed her.
Yeah, and they killed off Mark Strong. They what do you mean they didn't replace her with anyone? They replaced her with Patience Phillips.
Yeah,
Halle Berry.
Who was the strongest female character I've ever seen?
She was in the movie for about as long as the other girl was in the other movie.
Yeah, because if you rewatch Kingsman 1, the other girl actually didn't do that.
Because not anyone is in it as much as
she was in that weather balloon
Firth
thing
and the main guy.
Yeah.
She was in that weather balloon thing at the end.
She was. Oh, she was.
Yeah, remember? Yeah.
I'm just saying it wouldn't have been as difficult for them to replace, just take one of the dude characters and replace it with a female actress, and then we would have movie solved.
Maybe that's what happened when they replaced Merlin. Yeah.
I mean, they are called King's Men.
And at the end of the movie...
So...
But at the end of the movie, they
at the
did,
end of the day, it's still King's Men.
Dude, they should just make a whole new movie called King's Women.
Oh, no. That'd be like...
Or just Queens put, women.
Yeah. See, my whole thing is like, it's annoying when people do that. Just like add them into the existing story. Like when they're like, we're going to reboot Ghostbusters, but all women. I'm like, just make a movie about another squad of Ghostbusters that exist in the same world that happens to be all girls. You don't have to remake the movie.
Call it Paranormal Catchers.
Legacy of Spies only has men. And they're like, oh, we have one girl.
Well, now, but then now that Halle Berry got upgraded to being a statesman.
Yeah, there you go.
Yay. The
hey.
Secretary,
what do you mean, yay?
Upgraded.
Patience Phillips, Rachel.
she. You can't be satisfied,
Rachel.
Rachel
won't rest
until
smell every single character in the movie
is a woman. Well, let's
she,
move on.
She won't stop.
Well, we're not going to be tackling feminism today.
Yeah. Well, and if you want, Halle Berry is a woman of color. Mind you.
You got two out of the way.
Because let me tell you what, there are badass female roles in films of late, but there has been mostly white women.
But
hey, there you go.
Iron's got a point.
Even Scarlett Johansson was supposed to be Asian, but in the movie she used to be Asian and she became white.
That's so true.
Which is how it.
Why would you?
Should be.
Who's writing that? Who's writing that and goes, this will go over well.
Yeah, they'll love that.
Let me tell you what, man. I don't think Leslie Jones like thrown in the acting cast is a good idea. Let's be honest. In Ghostbusters, she was an angry stereotype.
No, the thing is, as I watched that movie, and she only had that one joke in the trailer where she's like, "I'm black," you know.
Oh,
that
was
the only one in the whole movie.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah. So
even like the makers was like, "All right, we had enough of that." Let's
they're like, "But we got to throw it in the trailer so we get those people that like that," you know.
But, yeah.
But summing up this this topic,
I don't think Kingsman is a beacon for feminism.
I don't think it's a
beacon. I don't think it was trying to be.
I don't think it's a beacon for anything you should aspire to.
I think it's just supposed to be
mostly.
Fun. Yeah.
But
that's
I think
about
if they put if they put more ladies in Kingsman 3, that'd be awesome.
Fine. I don't.
Yeah.
I would love
I wouldn't be mad about it. Yeah.
Maybe that girl comes back from the dead and she's only
cool.
A torso and a head.
How cool would that be though if she came back and she was like
she probably will come back.
She had robot legs or something.
She probably like if she was like, oh shit before the bomb blew up she probably went to like a Fallout shelter or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, I mean, let's be honest. If Harry could come back, so can she.
Yeah,
that's
that'd
true.
Be cool,
he got shot in the face.
And
she's only,
all robot,
and she's
except
only
her
assumed,
hot face?
She's only assumed the dead. Remember that. She's assumed dead.
Yeah.
She's not really, you
know. She might. What if Dumbledore is the only one that survived?
the guy who was in charge for, like, 2 seconds.
Dude, that's my favorite, that he probably just signed up for that job. And he was like, oh, I love this, finally. And then it blows up. That's why he was like, oh, fuck. And it was Dumbledore. It was great. But the opening fight scene, I think, was my favorite. Just the way he filmed it. And how Matthew Vaughn was able to do such dynamic angles in a car.
Yeah.
That was nice.
We've seen so many good car fight scenes lately. I feel like in the last few action movies. Like when we watched The Raid 2. And Atomic Blonde had a pretty good one.
Winter Soldier had a pretty good one, too.
And yeah. And Atomic Blonde had a pretty good one.
I didn't see that movie.
Well...
Well, let me talk more about Kingsman. I really
You
were still talking about his part.
You were talking about the dynamic
angles
in the first action scene. I agree. I thought at times it got a little bit too chaotic, and I was like, "All right, wait a second, what's happening?" For
I do feel like Matthew.
There was a couple
handle.
Shots where I was like, "Whoa, all right," you know.
But it was still, but it did not impact my enjoyment. I still thought it was excellent.
What was your favorite? Fight
that
scene?
Was an amazing
what
scene.
My
by the way.
Favorite.
It had
fight
Prince.
Scene.
It had Prince?
Oh, yeah, dude.
And Let's plays, Go Crazy?
He plays the Prince song, and I just thought it was funny that the bad guy goes to change Prince.
I was like, that, oh, no, you better not change Prince.
That's how the audience knows that he's evil.
That was Matthew Vaughn. That was Matthew Vaughn's like love letter. It's like, this is for you, Prince.
This is for you, Prince. And it was pretty cool. He's really good at setting fight scenes.
That's
to
the thing.
Music.
Like when I first heard that song, "Let's Go Crazy," I imagined like there's like a really badass car chase scene.
Yeah,
and I saw that, and that's just for real. I actually saw a badass car chase with that song.
That's awesome.
Like my life's complete.
I bet Matthew Vaughn thought that too.
Yeah, he probably was hearing it. I'd like to talk about why are movies this year obsessed with John Denver? What's the deal?
Yeah, Alien Covenant. What's the other one?
Logan Lucky.
Logan Lucky had John Denver, and is it the same
and it's
song?
Not like, yeah, it's so, and then so here's all the movies that's had it: Alien, that one, and then one of them, Annie's Song, which is the name of one of the songs,
movie,
was
right?
in. It was in this movie, and it was also in Oakjaw on Netflix that came out this year.
I saw that.
Yeah, remember when they're like when it's like running through the store in slow motion?
Oh yeah, wait, when did you see that?
I watched it like last week.
I watched it last week too, man. It
no
was awesome.
Way.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I really
it was
liked
really
it.
Good.
Yeah,
it was,
what happened?
The effects were crazy.
It's like a Miyazaki movie.
Yeah, it
I
was.
Watched the opening bit, and I was like, "Oh, this is adorable." Like,
yeah, it's amazing.
I like this movie.
Hiram, you should watch Oakjaw.
You like it? Yeah,
I will.
But
sure.
There's an unexpected amount of poop jokes in it.
Oh,
but they were
quality.
They're quality. They're not low brow. They're high brow.
And Steven Yeun,
high brow poop.
Steven Yeun redeemed himself.
Yeah,
that was great.
But I think. What was I talking? Oh yeah. They all have that same thing, and it's always that one. Oakjaw is the only movie where it wasn't like a huge plot point that song's in it. Like in all of these, like in Logan Lucky, it's like a big thing at the end that like his daughter sings it during her like recital, and it like their songs play throughout the movie. And so I'm like, what just happened?
And then
like,
in Alien, it's like the song that. That they hear and it makes them go to the planet with the alien on.
Yeah, so like what's the deal? Did that just become like public domain or something this year? And everyone's like, it's free, jump on it.
Let's get on it. Yeah,
I don't know. We'll never know.
They used it good though.
Yeah, it was great. I think this one was probably my favorite use, even though
because Alien Covenant sucked.
It made the most sense in the story in Logan Lucky.
Yeah,
but because it starts the movie off with like Channing Tatum talking to his daughter and being like. Telling her about that song and like backstory on it and why he loves it and all that.
Yeah.
But I liked it the best in this one.
It got me the most. And it's funny because if you think about it, it's the dumbest one. But
especially since like
because I like them so much.
Yeah,
and I like Merlin so much. I was like,
and it's all in the execution, how the orchestra was playing it
with him.
Under him, and it had like that chorus of voices that joined in towards the end. That was amazing. But
so many Kingsmen died.
It's funny that like just two scenes before he's like, "Who's my favorite artist?" And he's like, "I don't know." And he's like, "It's John Denver."
It's John Denver. Yeah.
Just so that they
but
could
he was
set
singing
up.
It when they were drinking too.
Yeah.
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 So it kind of set it up.
They set it up. They had it.
They did a lot of setups in this movie where they would show something at the beginning and do it at
and
the end.
And you don't think about
it.
It
was like five things, like the headshot gadget that brings you back to life. From bringing them back from the trauma. Or using trauma to bring their memory back.
They did that twice. That was cool. I thought that I was sad when Oberyn in this movie
got grinded up.
he was a bad guy, but like he was cool, and so I was thinking like they maybe could have saved him for like the next.
They
movie
could piece
or
him back together into There's a hamburger meat man.
Hamburger, it's the meat man.
It's the, they look over. It's the meat man. He's got a lasso,
and he's like he just keeps falling apart.
Ira, right.
Yep.
He's the meat man.
The meat man. Sorry, I just completely zoned out. I was looking up John Denver right now.
We're talking about Oberyn getting meat grinded and how we hope that he comes back in the next one as a meat man. what do you think about that? You have any more theories for Kingsman 3?
Yeah, fan theories?
I do not. I can't
I
think
bet
of
you
any
do
right
have
now.
Some. Come on.
Let's see.
Sam Jackson, he's still alive, right?
He has to be, right?
Yeah.
Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
What about at the beginning where they're like, oh, that guy from the last movie who has the robot arm now, you electrocuted him so that it doesn't affect his brain anymore, but it blew his arm off.
Yeah.
And they were like,
doesn't make any
oh,
sense.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it. Like, it's goofy, but it works in the universe.
Yeah.
I hope, now
I like
that we've
vagina.
Said it.
I like the vagina GPS.
The vagina GPS.
They didn't need to show so much. But
no, no, they didn't show enough. Show enough like,
for me, I mean, to be honest,
I was just like, I didn't get off to this.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matthew Vaughn.
Thank you, Matthew Vaughn. He was teasing us.
But now that we've brought up the theories for next one, I do hope we're right and that Roxy comes back, but with robot limbs.
What if she's just a mech?
You guys have said robot limbs too much.
Well, robot limbs are all throughout this film.
Yeah, that's just, hey, there is a.
What if this person comes back with all robot limbs?
The thing was with their weird way of bringing Harry back. I thought all it was gonna be was like his glasses were bulletproof glass, and it slowed down the bullet enough to where it only lodged in his eye. That would have been like fine. They could have been like
Kevlar sunglasses.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you know, like it still took his eye out, but like. It was slowed down enough by the bulletproof glass on his glasses.
Yeah, what if Harry gets...
By the time they got there, they could save him.
Yeah. What if Harry gets a robotic eyeball?
That's would be cool. That'd be
cool. That shoots lasers.
That shoots lasers. Dude. he has a monocle, like what you said.
Yeah, he has a little monocle.
Now it's really cool.
And it has all these settings like ice and fire, right? And then one that plays tunes, like music.
Like John Denver?
Like, it only has John Denver on.
Yeah.
It only has... Was that been playing in the background for this past few minutes?
Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be so funny if the sound settings were wrong and it's so loud. It's so loud. And we play it back and you can't hear anything we've been
saying.
That's
okay, I can turn it down in post.
What else, man? I thought it was good overall. There were a couple of things.
I really wanted to see like more Channing Tatum in this.
Yeah, that was. But the fact that he's going to be in the next one, that makes it okay.
It makes it okay. Yeah.
There were really like three statesmen.
Yeah, there's only like three statesmen. One, you know, really.
And Halle Berry.
Yeah, one real badass.
Patience Phillips was
there. You know, she got the second most screen time of all the.
She got a lot. They really thought we would like her character.
Well, because she's Halle Berry. Like Matthew Vaughn probably had a hard on just like shooting her.
Yeah, I guess.
She's Halle Berry.
Yeah,
she's one of the most attractive women in the business.
Patience Phillips.
Patience Phillips herself.
Monster Ball herself.
She was playing a very Patience Phillips character. I think she's been typecasted as the Patience Phillips-esque character.
Matthew Vaughn's like, we need a Patience Phillips-esque character.
He's watched that movie and he was like, this is what we need.
We need this. We need her to write Sorry and it's sexy this time. All right. There's more to this movie.
There is. A lasso. Come on.
That was cool.
A lasso that chops off people's limbs.
Robot limbs?
I thought that one of the aspects where it was on par, if not above, the last movie, is where they had all the gadgets. Like I thought they cool. cranked the gadgets creativity up to an 11 on this, and it was cool and everything worked. And like the briefcase that turns into like a riot shield, but also shoots missiles.
Yeah, I wish
but also shoots missiles.
If you think about it, it's a shield that shoots missiles.
And you really need to listen to that interview. It's so great.
I have.
You have?
Yeah,
oh, it's awesome.
You showed it to me.
He's like the what's his, what did it, the fighting American or something was
Yeah,
his
it
name?
Was something like that, and they were like, that's too close.
He has a shield, and he goes, well, my guy's shield shoots missiles. And he won the case. He won the court case.
I really want to, I really wish, like, Poppy was a bit more intimidating. Because she seemed to have started off that way. Like, the way she killed off, like, one of her henchmen, like, cruelly. I'm like, that's horrifying. I wanted to see more of that intimidation.
Well, I was intimidated throughout the movie. I just thought she should do a little more.
At least
but I don't,
leave
like,
that
maybe
diner.
Have a bit of, yeah, maybe have a bit more of a quirk like Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quirks.
More weird quirks.
Well, maybe if
quirks.
She was missing a couple bones in her toes, she would have some more quirks.
Here we go. Here we go again with this.
What a great throwback.
Oh, yeah, by the way, and the robot dogs, they died, but only because they didn't have thumbs.
Yeah.
It's true. They lost. They lost to thumbs.
They would have beat Elton John easily if they had thumbs.
Yeah. They would have, because they would have been able to grab the bowling ball and take it from them.
Through the holes.
Yeah.
Grab it through the holes. And
see, they can try to grab, but they can only get the top two
and
holes of the
right
bowling
off.
Ball, and it slides. Yeah, you got to get the grip with the thumb.
I loved how when she gave, like, one of her henchmen her, like, his new arm.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, test it out. And it's like...
Yeah,
with bowling,
and he throws it through the thing.
And she's like Armageddon. See the little things like the Armageddon thing, and she's like, "That was cool."
That was cool. Like, yeah, I wanted to see more.
I wanted more of that.
I thought that. I think it's the reason that Eggsy was able to beat him at the end once he took his robot arm off was because he had more thumbs at that point.
My theory holds up.
This thumb theory continues, man. It's going to make my head hurt.
It's true. It's the truth.
I'll find a scenario where something without thumbs beat someone with thumbs and they won, and I'll show it to you. Oh, wait. Every time a man has tried to fight like a jaguar.
Jaguars have thumbs.
What?
Is it jaguar or jaguar?
Opposable jaguars. Thumbs?
Let's Google it.
If jaguars have thumbs, we're going to...
A human versus a gorilla. Opposable thumbs versus real thumbs.
Well, speaking a girl of, has twice as many thumbs.
Hey, speaking of jaguars, that one girl in the movie's spirit animal was a jaguar.
He nailed that, man. I'm going to use all those lines. I'm going to be like, my spirit animal.
I really
what did
like
you say a spirit animal was? A crow.
A crow, yeah.
My crow needs to to nest in your vagina.
In your vagina. I really wish I was really glad that he like called up his girlfriend and was like, I'm gonna fuck this chick.
Yeah.
For the sake of my mission. Okay? Is this okay? And I thought like they were gonna do like some real cheap shit, like in every sequel movie where they have a couple and like she secretly finds out that like Eggsy cheated on her.
Oh yeah.
By having sex with her through
like,
FaceTime
this
or something
was
like
more
that.
More realistic.
But it's like more realistic because it's just like Eggsy, you could see that Eggsy really cares about it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a spy. I'm probably gonna have to do this.
I have proof that jaguars have thumbs.
You just have the football team of the Jaguars open on Google Images.
And they all have thumbs.
Not one of them doesn't have a thumb.
I will.
Confirmed. Alright.
I'll find real proof.
Another thing it does copy off of like the first movie's things where it's just like it has a few sequel problems.
Yeah,
it's just
like what?
This works in the first movie and
yeah. Well,
give me an example.
The scene where Whiskey was doing that shooting thing.
Oh, flipping it around.
Yeah,
it seemed like a church.
It was like that was cool. It was still fine to see it. You know, like,
yeah, it was cool.
It was like I wasn't dazzled. But it's like it's still cool to look at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you've seen so many things like that now.
Yeah, but it's like because like that was in the second one. If they did it in the third one, it would be like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah, and then when he did the whole manners maketh man again.
Well, I liked that they set up to
different.
It. Yeah,
it ended up
so
being
that
a
was
bit
cool.
Different.
I
made it
cool. Also, please direct your attention to my computer screen where you can see that this jaguar has a thumb.
Yeah, but it's not an opposable thumb.
Sure it is.
And it's a paw.
It's not opposable.
It's not hands, it's a paw.
See where it comes out just like another finger, but opposable means you can do this.
Sure they can. Haven't you ever seen...
It can pose.
That's a painting.
you have a painting
of a jaguar.
Well, I have definitive proof. Have you seen the film...
We should have done this one as a video one.
Yeah.
Maybe. Have you seen the film Tarzan?
The new one?
No, the old one.
The animated one.
Where he has thumbs.
Again,
the jaguar has thumbs.
I mean, they're probably accurate because, you know, they're
professionals. I like how James uses drawn jaguars to prove his point about them having thumbs.
See, it's drawn. All right, let's move on from the jaguars, okay? No one can see what you're doing on the podcast.
This one's also drawn.
How about this one?
We should do a lot of physical humor this podcast.
Yeah,
hey, check out this funny
humor.
Face.
Hey. Wow, that's hilarious.
Do a laugh.
Oh, no.
Quick. Hiram, do a funny face.
Doi.
No sound. No
sound.
Oh,
make
sorry.
A face.
Do a funny face.
Just for us.
It was good. All right.
So glad you enjoyed the funny face, folks.
Any more Kingsman, James? I feel like you have more to say about
it. We have a lot more to say about
it. I feel like I did. Our mistake was we went to a lunch after we saw the movie and we talked about a lot of it.
You can say some of the things we already said.
Well, no, but I don't remember some of the stuff that I said. But I thought that Henry Jackman did an excellent job with the score once again. But I have a grievance to air, which is that they never put any of the Kingsman soundtracks on Spotify. And that really frustrates me because I want to listen to them. But dang it, they're nowhere to be found.
But dang it?
Who distributed Kingsman? Which studio?
Marv.
Yeah.
Marv?
No. That's not
that's
who
the,
distributed.
That's the production company.
Who? It was 20th Century Fox.
Oh. Yeah, 20th Century Fox. Like,
oh, I've got it, guys. It was 20th Century Fox.
Also, shout out to...
Wait, this just in. I'm getting word that it was from 20th Century Fox.
Guys... Also, my other grievous.
Say grievous. Grimace. General grievous.
My other general grievous.
My other my general grimace
is that like General
McDonald's.
General Grimace. What if that was him in Star Wars instead?
He was just the purple guy from McDonald's.
But he had four arms.
So many thumbs.
All of his fingers are thumbs.
Grievous had no thumbs because he was a robot.
All of your fingers were thumbs. Like they all bent like thumbs. You can carry so many things.
That would mean they would only have like one bend point.
The term thumbs up would be on a higher level. It's like thumbs up.
Yes, all your thumbs.
All my thumbs. But anyway, I also my only other real big issue with this movie was that in our theater, the projector was like super wonky, which we were
has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah, and we were in like a nice theater, and I don't know what the deal is, but if you're working at the AMC Thoroughbred 20,
come on.
You better get your act together on
you
that.
You need to change that big D, all right?
Yeah. Fix the big D. I honestly don't know if it was like a problem with the file or a problem with the projector, but because it would only ever be super obvious when it was on like text that would pop up on the screen. It'd be super like garbled around it.
$15 for your big D. You better give me the big D. Do you know what I mean? That was good. Is that all about Kingsman?
I think so. I don't really have any other big problems. I know Rachel had pointed out. All your grievances
are that the projector wasn't working and that you can't find that album on Spotify.
Can we talk about Rachel's continuity error?
Yeah, well, let me...
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking about that, and I can't remember. But wasn't it a secret that he had a family?
I don't think so.
Right?
I mean, Colin Firth's character knew about it.
But I think, didn't he find out about it after that happened and went, oh, does he have family? Because wasn't he a recruit? Like
he was a full agent? Yeah, I don't think he was a full agent yet. Well, maybe he had just become a full agent.
Yeah.
And then he blew himself up. Spoilers.
My leg!
Oops. My leg! That was
I think you debunked her like her thing without even telling her.
Oh, wait, yeah.
What
Rachel said, basically, in the movie, he says to Colin Firth, oh, I know we're not allowed to have relationships. But then Eggsy's dad had his mom and Eggsy.
Yeah, he was married. Yeah, that's so like the most obvious relationship you can have.
That's the first sin.
It might have been
Adam
a secret
and Eve.
Too. Eggsy's was
getting married.
Getting married.
That's
not, I would never do it.
And he dated her for a year. You know, he probably just did it in secret.
Yeah.
And Colin Firth doesn't seem to
mind. He lived with her, and no one was like, "Hey, can we stop by your house?"
Yeah.
Hey, who's this?
And they all knew that he was dating because he. Because his friend Lancelot was helping him on the date that one time at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. So I feel like, who cares?
I think he was just like, I don't think that's a rule. I think he's like, I know you said I probably shouldn't get in a relationship. Like, it's recommended.
His exact wording was, I know it's against the rules.
I don't think he said that.
Rachel's right. Rachel's
right. We'll rewatch it someday.
Rachel is
correct. Buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray.
Do not mansplain, please, Jake. Not here.
Mansplain on my own podcast.
It's my own podcast, all mansplained if I want to.
All
manhandle.
Manhandle.
Oh, no. All right, let's move on to the picks.
That's a different type of man thing.
Let's move on to the picks. Who do we want to do first? This week, now it's time for the main event. Sorry. It's Frankie Muniz week, guys. Everyone's really excited about this one. We've got a real grab bag full of Frankie Muniz's finest work. We've got Big Fat Liar. We've got Agent Cody Banks. And we've got Sharknado 3. He's the star of. Oh, hell no. And
he is the star of.
That should be the title of this podcast. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
So which film do we want to start with?
Sharknado.
Let's get it up right now. Sharknado was bad. And like,
you did not even seem like you were enjoying it.
I was not.
Even on a bad level.
Me and Jake were enjoying it a bit more.
Having fun. Dude, the friggin' dude at the beginning sliding on the linoleum floors with the machine guns, just blasting sharks.
That
was crazy.
It was crazy. The way, the product placement was probably the best part of the movie for me.
Right away, they passed by
a giant sign of Subway
I've ever seen.
They just clipped it on there.
It was so funny. And then it popped up again when somebody was giving a speech at the podium and they got eaten by a shark. And after they fell down, you could see Subway right behind
them. Yeah. I feel like
someone's going to go, I'm hungry. I'm going to go have a Subway sandwich real quick.
Well, I mean, after the part in Kingsman, remember that part with the burger? Burger?
The guy
got minced into hamburger meat and Hiram goes, I'm hungry.
I really want a burger.
And we went and got burgers after the movie.
Literally after
the song. But What was I talking about?
Butts.
I think we owe it to our audience of Frankie Muniz fans to warn them that he's not in this movie very much.
But he dies the most heroic death.
Yeah.
He did.
He gets all of his limbs eaten off by sharks.
To be honest, I was at the beginning of the movie about 30% entertained. When Frankie Muniz was on screen, that upped to about
62%. 60? Whoa.
This is Frankie Muniz we're talking about.
Acting wise, he was the best.
Yeah, Frankie Muniz, if you were watching this, we adored you in that.
You were so good, and you died too soon.
Yeah.
Cinematic.
R.I.P. Frankie Muniz.
We'll do that in each one for when we're talking about each one of these movies for when his character dies.
Yeah, because he dies in each of these movies.
Yeah.
Agent Cody Banks, when he explodes, when they throw the nanobites on him and all his body falls off.
Yeah. Man,
that was bad.
Big Fat Liar, when Paul Giamatti blues him to death.
Oh no.
He blew all over him.
But after Frankie Muniz died in Sharknado, I completely checked out. My enjoyment dropped down to like a 15%.
When he pressed the button to shoot the thing with his chin.
He blew up.
Oh man, and he died like a hero.
Yeah, but he should have been the main character. Everyone else in this movie sucks.
But what about when he went to space and David Hasselhoff was there and the shark ate his wife and he jumped inside the shark to save her.
And he was in the wrong shark.
He goes, April? Oh, whoops. He goes, wrong shark. And then he punches out of the shark and then she births their baby boy out of the shark.
She births her baby boy like in the shark while they were in midair, while the shark in space was falling back to Earth's surface.
Through the atmosphere. And she squeezes the baby out of the cut that she makes, the incision.
The chainsaw that she's chainsawed out.
She goes, take the boy! And she roughly squeezes the boy out.
Babies are first born, their like skulls are very like tender. Malleable. And so he would have had like a squished head.
Yeah.
He would have.
And that would have... He would have hated his parents forever for it.
Yeah, for real. I wish.
But, I mean, the baby does get to chainsaw a fucking shark after birth. Like, right out of the womb, chainsawed a shark.
I think Hiram's misunderstanding what happened.
Wait, the baby doesn't get to chainsaw
the baby
shark?
Did not chainsaw
the
out
the
of...
saw. You saw the saw pierce through its skin. Then you saw the baby come right out after it.
You think the baby chainsawed his way out? The wife has a chainsaw hand.
You saw, okay, first of all, here's a proof of my theory
with
this.
A chainsaw hand and put a glove on.
But here's my theory with this, all right? You saw how badass the main character's daughter is against sharks. And she's like, oh, wow, I'm a shepherd. The baby literally is a born shark killer.
So when Iron watched this and he saw the chainsaw come out and then the baby, he put two and two together and he goes, oh, the baby saw it out.
Yeah, the baby saw it out. But in Hiram's defense, that would not have been the weirdest thing in this movie.
Right, exactly.
It's so funny. The baby's a
The woman
boy.
Gave fucking birth in outer space in a shark.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah. Then it isn't that crazy that the newborn
it's not that
baby
crazy to
saw it.
But I think the answer was very clear.
What?
Like, that it was not the baby.
Oh, we know it's not it wasn't the baby that did it, but...
Yeah, well,
clearly. I think Hiram's just joking.
Yeah.
Or am I? That baby chainsaw that.
What if we said that to him and he's like, "Yeah, I was just joking."
I'm going.
I'll go back to Savannah's. Like that baby did get. He actually did that shit.
I'll be honest with you. I don't have a lot to say about this movie, but you guys might.
The product placement is as funny as Frankie Muniz's death. Moving on.
Frankie Muniz's death was sad. You jerk.
What about the hot girl with her boobs hanging out?
Well, here's the thing. It's like what you said. Every woman that was on this movie was either a porn star or a stripper because they looked exactly like one.
With every job, there was like a janitor lady who looked like a porn star. And it was really weird. Like every job in this movie was held by porn stars. It was like, what if they took over the world?
What if porn stars are taking over the... We gotta make that movie.
They're stealing our jobs. These porn stars.
We gotta build a wall around them. Each one individually.
Instead of Daka, it's Paka. It. Porn stars.
Yeah. Like,
Trump would like that. That's really bad. Never mind. Trump.
Sharknado. What a great movie. Oh, hell yeah. No. What about when the boy and the girl, they had the romance... And then he kissed her.
And then he dies.
And then he died immediately.
Oh, you're talking about Jamal / Delonte, the black character?
Also, no.
The alligator thing
to
her?
I'm also talking about Billy.
Billy. Oh, poor Billy. Give him a death. Yeah. That's for you, Billy.
Was that a cell phone?
Moment of silence, Ben, for Billy.
All right.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
All right, good, good. Okay, right. So
let's move on.
Yeah, moving on.
So Sharknado, check it out. It's pretty good, James says.
It was bad.
I would not recommend to check it out.
Thumbs up.
Hey, I'd like to say that this franchise has jumped the shark.
Who the hell is interrupting my kung fu? All
right, so what next?
All right,
big fat liar.
Or Biffle.
Biffle, as it's known.
When Jake laughed at that part, it made me laugh even harder. Biffle.
Or Biffle, as it's known to be
this
called.
This film, let me do a little bit of a intro for
everyone.
BFL.
Our audience, they always need intros, or they're not going to be
well,
ready.
They got to know. What if they're skipping around like, oh, I don't want to hear spoilers for Oops.
Well, you jammed it.
Well,
too
it's buffering.
Hard.
I was jamming too hard. Well, you get
that
the
was
idea.
Good enough.
That was our intro from the thing. Big Fat Liar is written by everyone's favorite screenwriter, Dan Schneider.
He also brought you such hits as Zoe 101, Victorious, Drake and Josh, iCarly, and all that. And possibly Good Bird.
And The Amanda Show.
Also, The Amanda Show. And in turn, Moody's Point.
That's a great.
Which has Taron Killam in it.
Spalding.
And he's also in this
Big
movie.
Fat Liar.
And he has a very great relationship with Amanda Bynes' grandma. And they become best friends, which
they
I forgot about
friends.
That subplot.
Guys, I really love this movie.
It held up, bro.
Like I,
it definitely did hold up.
Yeah. If I saw this movie for the first time in theaters now, I'd be like, this is great, dude.
White Urkel is filming a cop movie with a chicken.
With a chicken.
And it's called whatever his name,
yeah.
And Fowl.
Oh, yeah.
The other cop.
Yeah, it was a... I'll never remember.
It was Steve Urkel and Fowl.
Yeah, I'll just call it Urkel and
Or
Fowl.
Stefan Urkel.
As he's known to be called in France.
But I accidentally stole that joke for a video I made for Spanish class where we were doing a talk show and we had Andy come on and he was promoting his film Chicken Cop. We called it El Pollo Policia.
That's pretty good,
and,
too, though.
It was just, we photoshopped a poster of Andy, like, running away from an explosion and a chicken also running away wearing
That's
a
great.
Police hat.
It can be an homage to this
yeah.
movie.
I didn't know. Big Fat Liars had a big influence on my life, it turns out.
Subliminally,
yeah.
I think that it gives us the message that if you have a last name of Wolf or have Wolf in your last name at all, you'll probably get fired in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, because you'll probably be a douchebag.
I'm
yeah.
worried about you, Finn Wolfhard.
Wolf
if you're hearing me.
He's only half.
Wolf Dick Wolf, creator of Law & Order. I'm worried about you, too.
Dick Wolf.
But
yeah.
There's an E at the end.
He watched this movie and he goes, oh, no.
He goes, oh, shit, my career. This is yeah. foreshadowing of my
there was
career.
There was a guy who graduated from my high school who was, like, really full of himself. And
his
like,
name Wolf?
He changed his name
to Wolf?
To Kerry Wolf.
Holy fuck.
I really hope
neither
he wants to be
one
a
of
doctor.
Those were his original names. Why would you choose Kerry as a first name?
I'm Kerry Wolf.
He stole a bunch of stuff from the film program. It was like, it's wow. pretty funny. Well, or
his career's ruined
he just,
already.
Well, like,
hey guys,
broke a lot of policy.
Do you want to go wolf hunting?
I remember that.
Right. Let's go shopping, Jake.
Oh, yeah, let's go shopping.
Oh, yeah, let's go shopping. All right.
What you want to do? Is it me and you? It's something, and we're shopping now.
And we're shopping. It's Amanda Bynes and Frankie Muniz, and we're going shopping in a Universal headquarters place.
Those are the actual lyrics.
And it's
Look
awesome.
It up. And it's awesome. We're so young.
That's like the music to Black Dynamite. That's like the music to Black Dynamite where it sings about what he's doing.
He's
like,
he's doing,
ooh,
yeah.
Someone shot Jimmy, and he's dead.
But man, this movie's good.
Someone's hiding now in Jimmy's pad or something.
this movie's so good. I love, I think his name's John Cho, the guy who plays the director.
Kustang.
And Kustang. He comes out at the end, he's like, or at the beginning, he's like, I'm thinking we filmed from 12 different camera angles. Doves, fly out, Kustang.
And Paul Giamatti's like, that's stupid. And he's like, I'll get you.
Yeah, he was like, what is it? What did he say? Confucius say? And then he
oh, yeah, Confucius say, you busted. Kustang.
Kustang at the end, yeah. Oh, that was so good. There's so many good actors in this movie. I don't
there
know
is.
How they got them.
That's crazy. Paul Giamatti, Turk from Scrubs.
Yeah, the guy who's... Oh, wait, never mind. I got that mixed up with
Turk
Cody
from
Banks
Scrubs.
For a second.
Yeah, this is true.
Turk from Scrubs is great. They name drop a lot of famous people. Urkel, he's in it.
Yeah, Adam Sandler is mentioned.
Yeah.
When Amanda Bynes.
That's an expensive mention.
That's they had to pay a lot of money for that.
That was during his Waterboy days.
Oh, back in the day.
Back in the
was
day.
It, was it though?
Yeah. When he was more entertaining. That, sure was, that was pre Jack and Jill. That was pre Jack and Jill Adam Sandler era. Okay, we gotta appreciate that.
He had a lot of bad movies pre Jack and Jill.
Well, what? He did, but
like grown-ups too.
A couple of them, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He had Grown Ups, which was fun. It wasn't good, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was
classes
fun.
Classes in session.
It just seemed like him and his friends.
There was The Longest Yard. Did we forget about that? Longest Yard was
Big
good.
Daddy.
Yeah. Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, bro.
Big Daddy.
That was like in the 90s.
I like that one.
Patty, what was it? Madison. Wedding, Happy
wedding
Madison.
Singer.
Patty Madison.
Waterboy, oh, come on.
Oh, I loved his film Patty Madison.
I love it, Depressed Gilmore.
Gilmore Girls?
Gilmore Boys.
Gilmore Girls.
Wasn't that his thing that he did?
Gilmore Boy.
Waterboarding Man.
Waterboarding Man?
Waterboarding.
Oh, wait, that's just Jack and Jill.
This is, oh, man.
Oh no!
But
and then it describes the audience.
Let me tell you guys this. I will quit the podcast if you ever had me make to watch. If you ever force me to watch Jack and Jill.
Oh, our next week's theme. This week's theme is Adam Sandler movies post Benchwarmers.
But he wasn't even in Benchwarmers.
He made that movie.
Was he the producer?
It was a Happy Madison movie.
Oh no!
So oh shit.
You can feel his presence in that movie.
Yeah, you really can.
I just don't.
He looked like beer.
I just want to stay the hell away from Jack and Jill, like at all times.
Have you ever seen it?
I
saw it in the theater.
You did?
What?
Yeah, with my dad.
Oh no! Did Logan make you go see it?
No. We didn't know it was going to be bad. We were like Adam Sandler. We went and saw it.
Jack and Jill.
You were like Adam Sandler, right?
I said, "Oh, the trailer looks bad, but it's Adam Sandler." At that point, we still liked him, okay? Right. We walked out of Meet the Zohan and went and saw.
Oh, I laughed at that movie.
I don't know why. There's a part about the Zohan that I really did enjoy, even though
we made it to the part where he is doing push-ups on the beach and the fish lands in between his butt crack. And then we made it a little farther where he's fucking that guy's mom when he comes in, the old mom.
No.
And we were like, let's leave. We were like, this is too
much. Adam Sandler not being family friendly.
Yeah, as he's known to be.
I like the part where
Adam Sandler.
I like the part of that movie where he's slapping the guy and the guy stops both of his hands and then a third hand.
Up.
Oh yeah, foot kicks him from.
All right, back to Big Biffle.
Back to Big Fat
BFL.
Liar.
Biffle, as it's come to
Biffle.
Be.
Biffle. Yeah.
Let's come to the part where is like the most enjoyable aspect of the film.
Well,
aside from Frankie Muniz,
the theme of the movie really is that truth. It's not overrated.
Not overrated.
Yeah, that's you could say that.
And that Paul Giamatti should deserve more A-list attention.
For this movie.
Because of this movie.
This movie kickstarted his career.
He did get nominated for an Oscar for this film, correct?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. You heard it here first.
The Academy was like, the way he turned blue was brilliant.
He not only turned blue physically, but emotionally.
Emotionally. You saw his descent into blueness. Blue dabba dee dabba die. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
You're right.
You're
Hiram,
not
you've
wrong.
Never been more right.
Am I correct?
You
Thank
are
you.
Correct. You are not wrong.
I rest my case.
Let me say something. Let me run down. This was an awards darling, this film. It was nominated for 4 awards. It won
Jeez,
one of them.
Wow.
It was nominated for a Blimp Award. Favorite
the
Nickelodeon Blimp.
Yeah, Nickelodeon Blimp. Favorite movie actress, Amanda Bynes. It won. Wow.
Well,
wow.
She's my favorite actress in
she
my
did
heart.
She very well in
before
this
she
movie.
Before she gone crazy.
Yeah, you know.
Did she go crazy?
Quote unquote. Not
I,
very
I heard
long,
about
just
it.
Just like a little bit.
In comparison to the other teen actors, it was probably nothing.
It wasn't like Lindsay Lohan crazy, but
it was probably she was like stayed out past her curfew like twice.
Yeah. Have you heard about Amanda?
Amanda
she's
Bynes,
staying out late. She's crazy.
TMZ's like Amanda Bynes stayed up at 12:01.
Lock her up.
It was also nominated for a Teen Choice Award, the prestigious Teen Choice Award for film Best Family Chemistry.
Oh, that's so
for sweet. Amanda Bynes and Frankie Muniz.
They did seem like very lifelong friends to me.
Yeah.
And you felt their friendship. It wasn't like a romantic foil.
Yeah, the way he casually told her she could come over to his house at the beginning of the movie.
I'm disappointed by the fact that
we were like, whoa, smooth.
Yeah. I'm disappointed but not surprised that Amanda Bynes is getting she's got all the award nominations.
She was a standout.
She was the real standout here. There's a reason the Amanda show was made after this and not the Frankie Muniz show.
I thought that was Malcolm in the Middle.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Which ran also, for
that
seven
was definitely
seasons.
Before this.
Where's Frankie Muniz's show? Where's that?
Hey, I want to know where Frankie Muniz's show is, huh?
Because at some point in the movie, when Paul Giamatti gets introduced, it kind of like Frankie Muniz takes a back seat and Paul Giamatti kind of becomes the main thing.
He does. Yeah.
I think they should make a show with him in it where it's like him and he's like the oldest of a couple brothers and his dad is like maybe a Heisenberg type, and
golly.
They could run for like 5, 6, 7 seasons.
5, 6, 7.
And he always talks to the camera.
And he's a little brother named Huey or Louie.
Let's do Dewey.
I like that better.
What's funny is that like I don't even when I think about Big Fat Lair, I never think about Frankie Muniz. I only think
what?
About Paul Giamatti being blue. Yeah. I think it was because of how Disney Channel always advertised it when it was going to come on a Disney Channel. They're like, now we're going back to Big Fat Liar, and then like they have like Paul Giamatti come out being blue.
Blue, yeah. And he's got his monkey and he's slapping his monkey around. You
guys,
know?
I know it's too early for questions, but I was just tweeted one about Frankie Muniz, and I have to say, Davey Peppers at Davey Peppers on Twitter. Go follow him.
Davey Peppers.
Is he doctor?
He says, definitely not.
No. Oh.
But he is a big film fan. He wants to know, where the hell is the 2006 horror classic Stay Alive, where Frankie and friends are killed by a video game? It's incredible. We're going to have to add that to the list.
Well, here's the thing. I've never heard of that, so...
Well, I'm going to have to watch it. Not now, but next time we do a Frankie Muniz episode, as there is plenty of material.
Why are we watching now?
I like how you said there's going to be a next time with Frankie Muniz.
Yeah, we're going to have another theme.
Like we wouldn't.
Frankie Muniz 2. We have another one.
Frankie Muniz 2 and 3.
Wow. What if this just becomes a Frankie Muniz podcast?
Or we just watch more Frankie Muniz things. We're like, this week we watched 2 hours worth of interviews with Frankie Muniz.
We'll even have like a special guest. Here we have Frankie Muniz impressionist.
Yeah, famous Frankie Muniz impressionist. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys, it's me, Frankie Muniz.
We'll never have... It's like the Amanda show, where it's like, we'll never really actually have Frankie Muniz, even though we're huge fans of him.
We'll just have people who sound like him.
We'll never meet him.
This movie's so good.
Big Fat Liar. I'm trying to think of more, because we were laughing,
his speech,
man.
It's his speech that he gives.
Oh, yeah, where it's just so vague and makes no sense.
Yeah, and it's also when it's all the insults he throws out to people when he's
what
like...
What are you, the CEO of Twinkies? To that fat girl?
Oh, no, yeah, that was... And then she eats a Twinkie at the end,
to
and you're
like,
supposed
fuck
to be like,
you.
Yes.
We
but
did,
I'm like,
though. I went, yeah.
It is symbolic
I was like,
of her victory.
Oh,
no, because she's like, I don't give a shit what you say.
Yeah, it's like,
I guess
I can eat this Twinkie and enjoy it.
I love that he couldn't take a hint that they hated him, and he goes, come on, guys. Let's make some magic. Come on.
Yeah,
and
they're
like, you suck, Marty.
Yeah, you suck. That was the best. I liked when he like roasted the old guy who was like the stunt coordinator, and he was that was great when I saw it in 1942.
You dinosaur.
You dinosaur.
You dinosaur.
Yeah. He's like, these are the talkies, Grandpa.
These are the talkies. Oh, that was good. And then that crazy monster truck guy, he hits his tire, and then he crushes his car with his monster truck.
Yeah, he bumps into it, and the monster truck guy destroys
his car.
He's
like, that's it.
You and that old lady goes, up yours, blue boy.
I want to know.
Blue boy.
I want to know these movies used to happen all the time. When we were kids, there was like Big Fat Liar, there was like Max Keeble's Big Move, all about these movies about kids sticking it to the man.
Yeah,
and they don't exist anymore. Now it's just like, I want to follow my dreams.
And be a rock star.
Yeah, now it's just, Diary of a Wimpy Kid is great. That's a good example.
Because I feel like that era, that era in the 2000s where it's like that kids just being kids thing just kind of faded away.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Or kids doing things that they shouldn't, like Spy Kids.
Yeah, like they shouldn't be spying.
Agent Cody Banks. You're like, what? Who hired this child?
Who hired a kid? I like in Cody Banks, though. He's like, what the hell? Why'd we hire this kid?
Yeah, but
he can't even talk to a girl.
Imagine this.
We needed that as a sound. We needed that as a sound.
Oh, man.
Imagine
if they made Agent Cody Banks, but instead of it actually being a kid, it was just a grown man dressed as a child going undercover in high school.
He had a beard.
He had a full beard. He's wearing clothes that are, like, too small.
Well, that's basically 22 Jump Street, and then being like, how old are you?
Yeah.
You know?
But this, I want it to be, like, more obvious. I want it to be, like, Billy Madison.
Kindergartner.
Yeah, I want it to be, like, Billy Madison, but with, like, spies.
Well, and he wears clothes made for kids.
Well, now that you said it, James, I do kind of want a pick movies where kids stick it to the man.
Yeah.
So, Max Keeble. And where it's like, we're not moving. School of Rock.
Stick it to the man.
Jimmy Neutron.
Jimmy Neutron, bro.
Jimmy Neutron.
Jimmy Neutron, like...
Whoa!
Yeah.
There's got to be a better example.
Yeah!
Fairly Odd Parents movie where, like, they're facing the adults, and they have a song like, kids just being kids.
Yeah.
You remember that movie?
I remember.
Yeah, we got to have more kids things.
Got to have more kids stuff.
What about Luck of the Irish, where they stick it to the man? And the man is that leprechaun.
You could do that with any movie. Oh, what about that movie Lord of the Rings where they stick it to Sauron, or to the man, and that man is Sauron?
Sauron.
What about that movie Star Wars where they stick it to the man, and that man is the dark side?
The Death Star.
what about that one movie?
What about the one where they stick it into Loki?
Hey, what about that one movie Avengers where they stick it to the man, and that man is Thanos?
Thanos.
What about that one saga called Harry Potter where they stick to the man and the man is a noseless snake man?
That's true, though. He is that is a bunch of
kids sticking it to the man.
Neosis. And the man is a genocidal Hitler wizard.
Hitler wizard. That is what he is, though.
You're not a bad guy. You're a Hitler wizard.
You couldn't stick it to the man more.
You're not a bad guy. You're a Hitler wizard.
No. That's even worse.
You're not bad. You're misunderstood.
That's the worst guy.
The Big Fat,
Big Fat Liar.
I like when we leave and I just go, so Biffle, huh?
Stop saying Biffle. That makes me laugh.
Biffle. When he goes, Big Fat Liar.
I just love that BFL. Line because I feel like he improv'd it. You know what
I mean? Yeah, or Biffle.
Or Biffle, as it's known to be called. And I can hear Dan Schneider behind the camera just laughing. Being like, ooh, that's it.
He's laughing. Every single laugh is like, ooh, ooh, ooh. It's like Dan Schneider's cracking up.
I wish they had those transitions.
Do I look good today? Yeah.
Would you like some grapes?
Yeah. Ooh.
Some fruity sports drink? You know, they always, on every Zoe 101, they drink that fruity sports drink.
Who wants some vegetarian pizza?
And they all got excited. They'd be like, woo! And that buff Logan douche guy was like, oh, shut up, I'll make out with you. And they were like, you're always doing that, Logan. And then Chase was like, Zoe, I love you. And she's like, I can't hear you, Chase. And he's like,
I can never hear you.
And then he gets that text from Zoe, but his phone falls in the fountain. Remember that episode? And the fountain, and he's like, no. And then the credits, like a soap opera.
I finally get to tell my feelings to Zoe. Zoe's on a plane.
And she's pregnant.
And she's pregnant. She's pregnant.
Yeah. Damn. What an emotional scene.
The helicopter where the old man finally picks up Paul Giamatti, and I would have been like, thank you for picking me up. And he goes, come on, you know how to fly this thing?
Yeah. He says he's so rude. Everyone, their like whole big convoluted plan to stick it to the man.
Where they drive him out into the desert and hope that he jumps out of the car on his own accord.
It's like Frankie Muniz is like, we know he's going to want to jump out of the car.
Knowing his personality, he's going to jump out of the car. Marty Wolf.
But like, couldn't they have just done the part of the plan where like they just make him late, like make him a little bit late, be like, oh, car trouble, and then they could have had Jaleel just drive him the rest of the way, and then when he gets there it could have been like
Frankie Muniz
with the monkey, and he chases him and chase him to the roof and be like, here, on camera he admits it.
Yeah,
because that was really the whole point.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes, Kustang!
Kustang! Kustang!
Kustang!
And it was all worth it, because at the end of the day, they got to make a movie that was probably like a really middle-of-the-road movie that people would forget about in like a couple of weeks.
And it's so memorable.
Just think about if they hadn't turned him blue.
With Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. If they hadn't turned him blue, this movie would be really forgettable.
Excuse you.
The blue is the main thrust.
The blue is the main thing. You know, it's a selling point.
It's the selling point. It's what they pitch. They pitch the whole movie and they're like, we're not feeling it. And he goes, but he turns blue.
Paul Giamatti turning blue.
And they
blue.
Go, here's $15 million. The same thing in the movie where he had to come up with that big speech happened in real life to make this movie, but it was Dan Schneider being like, the man turns blue. And all of the crowd go, blue!
Universal was like, we're giving you all of our money.
And all of our props for that shopping scene. Because we want all the Universal props. We want the Grinch's body in there.
Yeah, the Grinch.
The DeLorean.
Throw that in.
I keep thinking about like that one corny joke Mike Myers made in Cat in the Hat where it's like, Universal Studios. Ka-ching. I made that joke a couple times and nobody really realized that.
I love that.
Like, like this movie, Sharknado, and I just keep thinking, like, man, these are like advertisements for Universal Studios.
Subway.
All right, should we, what do you want to do? James, got any chimes?
Guys, all I got to say is that I think that Dan Schneider peaked with this film.
What did it come out after Drake and Josh and all that?
No, this was one of his earliest projects.
I think he needs to make more movies.
I think he should just do more. I think he should move away from Nickelodeon. I think he should write more movies about kids sticking it to the man. That's his strength.
Yeah, but who would be like
he knows kids. He loves kids.
Who would cast as the main character nowadays? Definitely not Drake Bell.
He could. Remember when he was Timmy in the live action movie and they were like, he's a kid and he's clearly an adult.
I forgot that was so weird.
I was uncomfortable. I saw that commercial and I was like, I like Drake Bell, but I feel embarrassed to watch this with my parents in the house.
I felt embarrassed to watch this by myself.
Hey, remember the Drake and Josh movie with Kimbo Slice? The Christmas movie where Kimbo Slice was in it?
Yeah, Kimbo Slice was in it. I was like, what the fuck is Kimbo Slice?
Oh, Kimbo Slice. Isn't he dead?
Also, fun fact for the audience. This movie was directed by Sean Levy, who is now the guy who's going to be directing the Uncharted movie.
And I really don't have faith.
I do have faith.
Unless he turns blue.
I think I like every single movie I've seen that director's done. He did Cheaper by the Dozen.
I like
that. That's a
not
movie
two.
That's legit. He might have done two.
Oh.
But Cheaper by the Dozen 1, I once watched two times in one day recently.
Dang. Back to back or just
Well, because
like
here's
apart?
Here's what happened. I turned it was on it came on TV and I had missed like the first like 15 minutes, so I watched through the whole thing. And then it was on immediately after, like it was a double run of it. And I was like, well, I missed the first 15 minutes, so I'll just watch that. And then I watched the whole movie again.
They tricked you.
James.
They did. It's so good.
Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yes, Cheaper by the Dozen. Have you seen it, Hiram?
Yes,
it's a good movie.
It's great.
It's a good movie. I was thinking about Yours, Mine, and Ours.
No, with Dennis Quaid. With Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
That one's so much worse. And they're like, we can't keep our kids at bay. We hate them.
I keep thinking, I'm like, wow, movies with kids.
Oh, I love kids.
I love those types of movies.
I
want to
reiterate for our audience, I love kids.
But not too much.
But not too much. I'm not a diddler. I promise. Like that Sonny, where he's doing
Always
the,
Sunny
the
in Philadelphia.
Pageant,
yeah,
he's like, I don't diddle kids. He's got a whole song. I don't diddle kids. I'm not attracted to kids.
you want to do...
Agent Cody Banks,
which I am a huge fan of, and I have a great story about Frankie Muniz.
I actually do like the score a bit in Agent Cody Banks.
It's like got that spy feel.
Get that spy feel. It's got like a nice rhythmic theme to it.
I like the rhythm.
I like the rhythm.
All right, we're trying to pull up the intro.
Let's jump into Agent Cody Banks, right?
Sounds like a porn song, doesn't it?
Agent Cody Wanks.
Yeah! That's one for the blacksmiths. Beer.
That was awesome, dude. Hashtag blacksmith. Hashtag Agent Cody Wanks.
Agent Cody Wanks.
If you're listening to this podcast, hashtag Agent Cody Wanks. Just to let us know.
I better see all
Brazzers, Scoreland, Bang Bros. Blacked. They're all going Black.com. They're all going to like, look to that one. They're all going to look to that theme and just be like, we got it. We got the perfect movie. All
right. So I have a great story to preface this. Chili's, the one in Franklin, the other one, the one in Cool Springs, me and my family were out at Chili's one night, and we looked over, and Frankie Muniz was there, and he was in the back corner booth with, like, two bodyguards, and he had grown, like, a goatee, and at one point, we were eating, and my dad goes, "Guys, it's Agent Cody Banks." My dad literally doesn't know what his name is. He thinks he's Agent Cody Banks, and we're like, "You mean Malcolm in the Middle? Like, all these more well-known?" He's like, "No, no, no, Agent Cody Banks." And it's the funniest thing. And we walked by him, like, all, like staring at him, like, oh. And it was so cool to see Frankie Muniz.
That's a beautiful starstruck. That's a beautiful starstruck moment you got there.
It was great, man. It was, like, the first, like, famous person I saw.
I want to know why in the world he was in Franklin, Tennessee.
And Chili's, they have so many appetizers.
You're so lucky. Like, the only famous person I saw in person is John McCain.
And that's not much and of, that, like, a crazy
it's
thing.
It's not. I was
an old guy.
That was when I was working in D.C., and like in the Capitol. I was just like, oh, man, I get to meet John McCain. And I was
Did you get to talk to him?
All I said, he was walking past me. All I said was, "Hey, how you doing?" And he was like, "Hey, how you doing?" And that was it.
Wow.
Hey, dude, you impacted his life a little
bit. That's like you guys are friends.
Yeah.
You made him think about how he was doing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he was going to record a statement that I would have to edit and bring it to his office. So, you know.
Hiram, that's awesome.
Hiram's up there mingling with the big wigs. Next stop. Trump
presidency.
I would vote for Hiram. I would too.
Well, I wouldn't say, "Hey, how are you doing?" I would just say, "Fuck you." And it's just like, he'll probably grab me by my vagina. And I would feel uncomfortable.
And surprised.
And very surprised.
You'd go, "Oh, I have a vagina there? I didn't know until you grabbed it." But Agent Cody Banks.
Let's get into Agent Cody
Banks.
You grabbed me in the place I never knew I had.
Starring Keith David and Hillary Duff.
Hillary Duff.
The designated ugly fat friend.
Have you guys seen the movie The Duff?
No, I have not.
It's actually good.
Oh, is it? Well, yeah. I like the girl in it, Katara.
Stop saying funny things to me, Jake.
Yeah, and Ken Jeong is in it, and he's hilarious.
I love Ken Jeong.
The designated ugly fat friend.
But, man, I love this movie. I've watched this movie
Hillary
so many times.
Hillary Duff is so attractive. And she still is attractive today.
Oh, yeah. She's still
Well, she, so like, dropped gorgeous. Off the map. I'm like, where are you, dog?
But I'm like, good for you. At least
I
you
think,
didn't
think people were giving her crap because they took beach photos of her. And she had, like, a little bit of cellulite. And they were like, look at her. I'm just like, she looks way more attractive than she did when she was like, so much younger. I was like, oh, my God.
Hiram spends a lot Hillary of time Duff looking at beach photos of Hillary Duff.
But she's out somewhere raising her kid. And I think that's
really
cool.
She's being a good mom.
Yeah.
She's just living
She's
her
being
life.
A good mom.
She
yeah.
should thrust her child into a career of acting against their will.
Show them Agent Cody Banks.
And go, "This could be you.
This is the pinnacle of my career.
Pistachio
this could be
ice
you.
Cream.
Pistachio.
What's your favorite
scene? But she knew
when
to walk
movie?
Away. She wasn't Sorry. An Agent Cody Banks, too.
My favorite scene in this movie is where the little brother is pretending to be him in the room, you know?
Oh, yeah. And he keeps saying,
and she's like, "You okay?"
And
he's like, what does the thing say?
He keeps saying, "Yeah, I guess. I guess. And she goes, "Oh, well, are you going to keep being whatever? Are you keep
a
being
jerk?
Like a
yeah.
jerk? I guess." What did you say?
Oh,
I was
just kidding.
So probably the only two things they recorded were "I guess" and "just kidding." He's like, "In case I guess doesn't work, just say I guess," and then say "just kidding."
He actually said that.
No,
like,
he said
just
he
said
the kid
like,
did.
Oh, the kid did?
Yeah, the
oh,
kid
just
said,
kidding.
"Oh, just kidding."
Oh, I thought that was another recording.
No,
so all they recorded was "I guess"?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, yeah, Frankie Muniz is, like, the angstiest teenager in this.
In this movie, yeah.
In both, sort of, but he's more, I like him, I like his personality better in Big Fat Liar, even though to me it seems like he's playing the same character almost.
Well, Big Fat Liar, he had a point to prove.
Yeah.
And, like, in this one, he is...
It's like Max Keeble's big move.
Yeah, it's
but
like Max
come
Keeble.
On, guys, the ultimate scene where he gets the comeuppance on the bully, and he flips him into the pool, and Hilary Duff gets all hot and bothered, because
she's
like,
goes,
"I love violence."
Like, "Ooh, I love it." I love
women,
violence.
Women love violence, and
that's
anyone who tells you different.
Rachel, do you
Rachel,
love violence?
If
a man defeated another man in your presence.
Hot damn.
Hot buttery damn. That's exactly what Rachel said.
Buttery damn. Hey, if a woman defeated another woman in front of me, I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, if she was
I mean,
like.
If she was covered place. In butter, I would be.
If she was covered
impressed.
In butter.
Well, I'd be confused. I'd want to know how that happened.
Well, yeah. Obviously that would be like the mark of how she defeated her, because like, you know, the other
she's
one would grab her
well, you
and
can't
she'll
get
slip
a grip.
Away.
Yeah, when you yeah. Well, see, that negates the thumbs theory, because they're all about grabbing, but if you're
butter.
Slick with butter,
so
we
like
got
you
it.
Can't grab.
We finally got the rebuttal so to James's thumb
it's
thing.
It's like rock, paper, scissors, right? Thumbs beats everything, but butter beats thumbs.
That's it.
That's good. So we got that. So
butter or oil. Anything you can be
if they're buttered.
See, here's the thing. Godzilla versus King Kong. King Kong wins because he has more thumbs. But if Godzilla lathers himself up in butter,
he might have a
fighting chance.
So now emails when they're like versus should bears, be in go, parentheses buttered or not buttered.
Yeah.
So let's know.
Going back to bears versus gorilla. You know, if the bear lathered himself up with butter,
he might have a chance.
Although the bear is covered in fur, so that might
it's just sticky.
Yeah, it's just sticky might help at that point. Gorilla. It might help the gorilla at that point.
Stick to him, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
If this gets a grip, he's not letting go.
Too many variables.
I'm going to need to get a second computer for this.
To calculate algorithms. You put in butter, enter. Oh, interesting.
Well, this one's covered in butter.
It's covered in butter.
Buttery.
Mm. But the story of Agent Cody Banks, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is about Cody Banks, and he's an agent. Yep, there you go. He sends off for these spy magazines, and because of his interest in the CIA, apparently he's just interested in the...
That's all it takes.
They recruit him into this summer camp for kid agents.
This is the worst CIA imaginable. Yeah,
they're so desperate for recruits that they're like, this guy mentioned the CIA once, let's hire him.
He probably likes
the CIA. I feel like that was what the CIA like did to like prevent themselves to be looked at as like pedophiles. It was like, we're looking for kids, but...
They gotta be interested. Consent.
They gotta consent first.
Consent to the CIA.
Consent to the
CIA. To being a...
CIA stands for consent is awesome. Nice.
Consent is awesome. That's why we sent out a magazine.
Speaking of slightly creepy things... The handler lady who busts into a high school
boys' locker room
dressed in tight pants and then a jacket with no shirt, and the jacket only has the middle buttons buttoned.
She doesn't need she'd be slowed down with a shirt.
Yeah.
She'd be slowed down if it was buttoned up.
And she's
thinking about efficiency.
And plus if you leave the bottom ones unbuttoned, it makes the bottom of your jacket into like a tiny cape.
Exactly.
And then you look more heroic when you save people.
She's the super handler.
She has to be the super. She has to be shirtless.
Yeah.
All the best handlers have the boys.
She whips them with the towel and defeats them. And then Cody Banks is like, "That's right."
Or like the part where she swoops in to like save him at the end. She's like, "You could ride with me," and he tries to get on face first, and she's like, "No." Turn around. She goes.
I would have loved it if she just let it happen and he just comes into the bad guy's base with his face buried in her bosoms. And he flies in. And he's got his face in it. And he goes, they say a bad thing, like, "We're going to kill you." And he goes, "Not today." But he's muffled.
He's like, "We're going to kill you." "Not today."
And he peels his face away and goes, "Oh." Because he's been having to hold his breath.
He tells Ian McShane, "Let her go."
Dude, Ian McShane is in this movie.
He's a great bad guy, though.
And he's like all in.
Yeah, he's great.
He, just like Paul Giamatti, was like all in on Big Fat Liar. Yeah. Like, they don't phone it in, and I like that.
I love it when they have villains in Frankie Muniz movies that are all in.
Muniz movies.
That's Hiram's favorite.
That's my genre. Favorite.
Well, I think that Frankie Muniz pulls the best out of his fellow actors on screen.
He does. I think he must have been a joy to work with.
Yeah. I think if there was a death match between the Ian McShane character and Paul Giamatti.
Who's buttered? Are either
neither are buttered.
Neither are buttered.
Match.
Oh, right.
Neither are butter, and they only have their thumbs.
Blue Paul Giamatti or pale?
White.
Well, okay, all right. Like, he has... Okay, you have Ian McShane with the ice cube with nanos, and then you have blue...
Well,
what's his Paul becomes, Giamatti.
Wait, so he gets to use the nanobots as a weapon, or he already ate the nanobots?
He's post-eating nanobots.
Then he would be done.
Because at that point, it's just a waiting game for Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. Dude, it actually, like, the guy with the weird eye, when I was a kid, I remember him scaring me, like, so
dude,
hard.
Isn't he in, like, Scooby-Doo or something? I swear he's been in other movies.
Yeah, I think so, too. I like the scene where he's got the cool skateboard. Remember they give him that awesome spy skateboard? And he's going through the ducts, and he has to go down and get the stuff.
Yeah, that's a cool
gadget.
That was a cool scene.
And he's doing it all while he's at Lizzie McGuire's birthday party.
Guys, this movie was written by 4 people.
Yeah, they had to get the most quality.
That means... That 3 different times someone was like, man, I can't crack the story of Agent Cody Banks. I got to bring in some backup.
Where's the ending? And then one guy was like, they throw the... Hillary Duff puts the ice cube in his mouth.
And watches him die. She's a murderer now.
I like she walked all the way up to him while he was yelling and went like this, like all sexy. And then she just shoved it right in his mouth.
Yeah, he goes, whoa. It was, and he was yelling, he was going, ah.
And she shoved it, and he could have went like this.
He swallows
spat
it.
Spat it out. He goes, oh no. I love the taste of nanobots.
I like how before, like, when he had, like, the ice to her face, and, like, Cody Banks was like, let her go! And he was like, no!
Yeah, no!
He just declines. No thanks.
I never saw a villain turn it, because, like, normally a villain would be like, oh, I'll let her go all right, and then does something dastardly, but he's just like, no!
No. He's like, fuck you. I love that. And I like, it's weird when you go back and watch a movie like this, or Big Fat Liar, and you realize how short they are. When you're a kid, you remember so many more scenes, but they, like, you're watching Agent Cody Banks, and you're like, oh, they're already at the pistachio scene, you know, in the kitchen.
Oh, the beloved pistachio scene.
That, yeah, where he's fighting with the pots and pans, and then he decks Cody Banks in the face with a pot, and you're like, now our hero.
Our hero. He's knocked out.
He's knocked out. Oh, no, he's not going to get
the pistol. I like how, like, his handler treats him like you know, a mom would. It's like, yeah. Did you clean your room? It's your family.
It's like half. It's weird. That's
it is
weird.
It's a the really fact that weird she's relationship.
Like, the fact that she's like all like sexy around him, and he's like,
she's
ooh,
sexy
all
around
the time.
Everyone.
But then she also like treats him like she's a mom. I'm
yeah,
like, that's
she
you,
acts,
you can't have both.
No, it's
she
three
be,
things.
She
acts,
can be a well-rounded character.
She acts sexy.
She
acts
sexy
like his mom.
And motherly.
She acts sexy. She acts like his mom, and she acts professional.
Yeah, she's
and
got, she's got.
Very
many,
multifaceted
many
character.
Layers, but not really, because she has one shirt on.
I like how you're looking right at Rachel when you were talking.
Because I'm waiting for Rachel to side with me on this, that it's creepy for someone to be, like, seductive towards a child
he's
and
not,
also
I don't think
like
she's seductive
figure.
Towards him.
I think
she's just seductive by nature, and he's trying to seduce her.
Yeah, I think he's,
I like,
just,
he's
just a young teenage boy
like
who's
how,
like, hot damn.
I like how every time she came on screen for, like, the first couple times,
oh, yeah.
They played that same...
Man. So hot it hurts.
Yeah.
They do it every time.
It was fun. They say it's getting hot in here.
It's getting
every time.
Hot. Every time I hear that song, I think of that movie. Of Agent Cody Banks.
She hasn't done much else.
The actress.
Rizzoli and Isles.
What else did the director of Cody Banks did?
Yeah,
I'll tell you
what.
What
did he do?
I'll tell you what he did. Give me a
what
give me
do?
A hot second.
Harold, it's right there.
Oops.
Harold
Zwart.
Harold Zwart, a guy whose name is easy
in the
say.
Netherlands.
Ooh,
he
nice
understands
hair.
American movies.
Yeah.
He
oh,
did
he did
the
Karate
Kid
with Jaden Smith. He did the Pink Panther 2 with Steve Martin.
He did the Mortal Instruments.
Mortal City of Bones.
I did like the Karate Kid movie with Jaden Smith. I
yeah,
that
I enjoyed
yeah.
it too. And he also did L'Ange Flatté Balaire 2.
And he did The 12th Man.
Can
filming.
We watch One Night at Mick Cool's?
Is that like a Weekend at Bernie's type thing? But they
one
could
night.
Only keep it up for one night
one
and
night.
They get busted. They're like, hey, McCool is dead.
No, it's one scene. Did you put sunglasses on a dead guy?
It's, did you put sunglasses on McCool?
That's a felony. You're going to jail. He's too McCool for school.
He's too McCool.
But I love Agent Cody Banks. It's just a quality like Frankie Muniz was the king of these type of movies.
He was, man.
They
I really
bring
want
him
more
back.
Movies. I want more movies like these. You know,
they should,
where
yeah.
it's just like for the hell of it. It's just really ridiculous.
Yeah, they're dumb plots, but they don't have to do with them being good at music. That's what I'm sick of. Is all
I
these kids
hate
movies where
it.
They're I gotta be a star. It's not about that. Agent Cody Banks works in the shadows. He doesn't care about the
yeah.
starlight, right?
So does Big Fat Liar. He doesn't want. The credit. He
all
just
he
wants to pass his class.
Yeah, and then he
just
gets,
wants his dad's trust.
And then he ends up getting a movie out of it more than he bargained for.
Yeah, because he's humble.
Starring Turk.
Starring, yes, Turk's so good.
He's so good in that fake movie at the end.
Yeah.
Man.
I bought it. Real
I bought
tears.
It. I cried.
Yeah.
I thought
the
I
truth.
Was in the theater.
He could be a real
not
leading
a
man.
Yeah.
I thought that I was mad at the end of Big Fat Liar when the teacher gets to like celebrate that he's like getting credited.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
You're the source
why'd
of all
she get
this.
Invited?
She was like, she seemed like she was like maliciously going after
she
him
goes,
and wanting
summer
him to
school
fail.
Or summer school.
I wanted
my,
to punch
the dad
would have
been like, okay, pipe down a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, Nancy, stop your honking. That's what I would have said.
Donkers.
Have you seen Over the Hedge, Hiram?
Yes.
Do you remember the pest control guy? And he's like, Nancy, stop your honking.
Stop your honking.
And then he shoots the net at that flamingo, and he goes, oh, damn, it's so lifelike. Darn you, plastic moldsman.
Me and my roommates have been saying that like all week. We keep going, Nancy, stop your honking, and darn you, plastic moldsman.
Plastic moldsman.
But man, what a great film.
And Keith David, and the scene where Frankie Muniz is trying to talk to that hologram girl, and he can't do it.
But in his defense, that hologram girl was hot.
Fine.
She was fine.
Man, oh, whoo.
I was like, am I watching her?
Her right now? Oh, man, that was a good movie.
That is a good movie. That movie's sad.
Yeah, it made me in a weird mood.
I was like, I could see this happening.
It made me wet with tears.
All right, well...
let's leave that in the past.
Made me wet with tears. What has anyone described crying as being wet with tears? It brought wetness to my face.
I think that the second movie... Do you guys think that the reason Hilary Duff wasn't in Agent Cody Banks 2 and was replaced with Anthony Anderson was because she was...
This again?
As
the love interest.
He just plays her character. No. But do you think the reason that her character isn't in it is because she's probably dealing with the fact that she murdered a man and watched his face disintegrate in front of her eyes?
Yeah, she's in some asylum.
Yeah, she's like, oh,
and
no.
And then Anthony Anderson's Nanobots. Like, watch my Blackish TV show.
Yeah, in the future.
He keeps reciting lines from Kangaroo Jack by accident.
He goes, flush it down the toilet.
I put the money in the jacket.
In the jacket of the kangaroo, and now we hop in away.
I
put the money in the jacket.
We should watch Kangaroo Jack.
Hell no, James.
Kangaroo Jack?
Dude, Kangaroo Jack's great. What about the opening scene? What about the opening scene when he's drowning and Anthony Anderson as a kid? It was like, I'll save you, and it plays the Superman music.
Yeah.
And he comes, rises out of the water.
True, okay.
That's a good scene.
Here's the thing. If we're going to have a pick with Kangaroo Jack,
Jackie
we
legs.
Gotta have
what's that Jackie
we're gonna legs. We have to have Snow Dogs that
Snow
same
dogs.
Weeks.
Oh my god!
I'm not an Eskimo.
I don't know.
That's
gonna
be
Snow
a great.
Dogs.
That'll be a great week.
Snow
what
Dogs.
That theme be?
We
just
have
weird.
We have Anthony Anderson, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Movies.
Come on.
Talking. Do they talk in Snow Dogs?
At one point, it's the same way. It's the same like bait and switch
it?
Where it's like a one dream sequence where the dogs talk for like 2 seconds. And it's the same thing in Kangaroo Jack.
Okay, well then we have to have a third one, which is like cats
the theme
and
will
dogs.
Be hallucinations of animals talking movies.
Yeah, and then the third one we'll do the
theme.
Jurassic Park where the third one
Alan.
Right? Where
it's
Alan.
Yeah, Alan. Oh. That'll be a weird theme to put on Twitter. This week's theme, animals talking in hallucinations movies.
We should actually do that. I'm not even joking.
That's
we should actually.
So weird.
I would gladly watch Snow Dogs, Jurassic Park 3, and
Kangaroo Jack.
Just to watch Alan.
All right. Is that done with our Frankie Muniz stuff? Are we going to get into our picks for next week now?
Ooh, well, wait a second.
Oh, wait, we don't have picks for next week. We're doing our Disney Channel thing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we have
Well, that's not
we'll
for next week.
We'll
that's
tell
for
you guys.
Tomorrow.
No, we're going to air it.
We're going to air it in the right order, yeah.
Yeah, come
so
on,
we're not going to air it until next
come
week.
Come on, Hiram.
At the time of recording, we're doing
up,
back-to-back
guys,
shows.
Yeah.
Oh, man. God.
I spoke.
God, Hiram.
God.
Why do we pay you?
I'm sorry.
Why
do
we
pay
you
the
big bucks for this? Are you looking up the hallucination scene? You know they can't see it, right?
But they can hear it, which is half
the battle. It's me. Love the jacket, Charlie. It's hard to get something that fits my shoulders. Nice. How'd you know red was my favorite color?
I didn't know
the
CGI Jackman to do this.
I can sing. I said a hip hop. The hippie to the hip hop. You don't stop
the
rock to the
bang
bang. Boogie set up. Jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to boogie.
Great.
See, I am Jack Lee. And I'd like
to say
hello.
The watch. All right, this is not good podcast.
It's good for us.
Let's
so
move
next
on
week.
To the emails.
Oh yeah, emails.
Yeah, don't you dare! I'll play the emails intro.
What?
You lied!
Deleted
you
it.
Fucking liar!
Piece of shit!
God damn. Got him!
Way to save
got
that
him.
For
what
last.
A prank!
The
I
long
got you,
con.
Man. Well, all right. let's jump right into these emails. Bastard. Our first email, let me refresh and make sure we did receive any more. Our first email is from Michael Castellon. He says, an important question.
But I mean, in order, it was... Okay.
Okay, so you have a roll of scotch tape, a garbage bag, 3 number 2 pencils, 2 sharp, 1 dull, a half-eaten Pop-Tart, a damp towel, and a wooden plank.
Okay.
Your task is to sneak into the White House, steal a bust of Abraham Lincoln's head, and escape unscathed. How do you do it?
Okay, so first thing you do is like, all right, I've been in D.C. and they close every night they would begin closing the White House area at like 6 p.m., like okay, 5 p.m.
This is insider information.
Yeah, and they have guards surrounding it. So gotcha. What you do is with the 3 pencils, you... Stabbing? Construct a blow dart.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Or no. Well, that's all you would have. So, like, you would just throw the pencils in them, right? And then they would, you know, they would fall over.
Die.
Then that will get you in through security, okay?
Exactly, yeah.
All right?
As easy as that.
It's as easy as that.
Yeah, and then what?
And then with the tape,
you tape the Abe Lincoln bust to your back because you didn't bring a backpack?
Yeah.
So you can carry it out easily. So you duct tape it to your own body.
Yeah,
right?
That's
you make
that's
a
simple.
Makeshift
that's
backpack simple. With the tape.
What do you
tape?
Do with yeah. the Pop Tart? Half eaten.
Eat it for energy.
That's true. you're gonna need an extra boost once
or,
you get that bust on your back. It's gonna be tough.
Well, yeah, okay, so just or just in case if like Melania Trump starts like yelling, you just shove it in her mouth so she'll shut up. She'll obviously have time to chew it, so she won't say anything because she's eating a Pop Tart.
It's
not
delicious.
Like you shoved anything terrible down her throat.
Wouldn't,
you shove a delicious Pop Tart down her
a
throat.
Wild berry Pop Tart.
Yeah,
a wild berry Pop Tart.
It could be any flavor. It could be marshmallow.
It could be marshmallow.
They're
yeah.
all delicious.
They're all delicious.
Let me say with the s'mores. wooden planks, I would say you tape them to the front of your body so that if someone
how much tape do we have? Just a whole roll?
A roll of scotch tape.
Ooh,
that could be a big one.
A garbage bag. Oh, we could have put the thing in the garbage bag. The bust.
Let's just do that. Let's carry it over our shoulder, but then you can use the tape to tape the wood to the front of
chest.
You so that if anyone sees you, you can. Press
pretend
against
you're a
the
tree.
Wall. You can press against the wall
oh,
and blend
gotcha.
In.
With the other wood.
Yeah, with the other,
with the
wood,
other wood planks.
With the other wood planks. Or on the ground, the wood floors.
What about the damp towel?
Okay. All
right, no, so. You do it Rizzoli style. You whip the...
You whip
yeah, like
him.
An injured Cody
the president,
Banks.
Trump, comes around the corner. He goes, get out of my house. And you whip his hairpiece off. And he goes to try and get it. And while he's distracted, you give him a little kick in the rumpus.
A yeah. little kick in the rumpus. That's yeah. for my Mexican friends, bub.
That's
and then you run.
Work at Taco Bell.
Because that's where
and then
you
run. That's it.
And then you take and then you run for it. You
that's
hope
it.
You survive.
No,
you
get out.
Don't.
You get out unscathed. You're fine.
That's good.
That's foolproof. If you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking of a foolproof way to get a bust
well,
of Abraham,
you're welcome,
Lincoln,
Michael Castillo.
You're welcome, Michael. Please don't. If you steal it, don't blame us.
Yeah.
Our next.
I love Mexicans. Can't you tell by this Taco Bell bowl?
Oh,
I
we have
bought?
Two. We have two emails.
Remember that photo that he was eating?
Yeah, he was eating.
I love Mexicans.
I love Cinco de Mayo. And then he's just
hombres.
Jake has two emails.
Jake.
Jake Helton.
Smelton.
Smelton. His first one says, "Hey guys, what's up? How's it going?
Good.
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 Which one of you co-hosts has the best butt?" Thanks.
We should vote.
From Jake. Sent
Whoa,
from my... Wait, this is very important. Sent from my iPhone.
From yours?
No. Is it mine?
It says
know.
My.
We'll have to check.
Is that
it
me?
Should say his iPhone.
Yeah.
Fix it up, Gmail.
Well, to and answer your question, Jake Helton, I've been looking pretty firmly at James's ass for a while. But then I was like, today, earlier today, I was getting a look. I'm like, maybe Jake's ass could, you know, maybe be better. You know?
I vote for Hiram.
I mean, I'm gonna say it's gotta be hard. Come on, you got that juicy booty.
The juicy
booty? Yeah. See, it's all about the juice with me.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people go in for firmness, they go in for thick.
Thickness?
Two
but you go
C's.
For the juice.
I go for the juice.
Like, juice, like, you know, oozes out
I
of
I want it to
ass,
be or... filled to the brim with juice.
Yeah.
And Hiram, if anything can be said about your butt, it's that it's filled with juice.
Next, our next email next. Is also from Jake Helton. This is our last email. It says, I just want to know, since it's an auditory medium, I'd like to have a mental image of what you guys look like. Also, which one of you your co-hosts has the best jugs?
He just wants to know which one of us has the best jugs, features. He says.
Oh, man. If you're asking for nudes, like, okay, if you're asking for nudes, not breasts.
No, no, no.
Jugs. Like that you have on your shelf to contain fluids.
I have quite a few.
Well, Hiram has that juicy booty. So
yeah, Hiram's juicy booty. He'll need those jugs to contain the juice.
Oh, no.
When it overflows. When his cup runneth over.
Well, Jake, I hope that answers your question.
It didn't, though. We didn't say who has the best jugs.
All of his questions had just, like, if you wanted a visual of our appearances, just check our SoundCloud.
Yeah, we've got our pictures up.
Yeah,
the pictures are up there.
But it doesn't show your
booty.
Check my MySpace.
Does not.
And it also doesn't show our jugs. It
shows mine.
We should change our profile for one day and just have us holding jugs and be like, you decide. Who has the best jugs?
Vote.
Vote now. We'll have a Twitter poll.
All right, well...
Great questions,
guys. That
was
a great question, Jake. I hope we answered it thoroughly.
We've got a special episode
for next week, which we're actually going to record while we're all here, so...
Oh, don't break the illusion.
Well, sorry. We have a special episode. Well, sorry. If they send in emails, they'll be furious. They'll be like, you didn't read my emails because we wouldn't have gotten them. So we got to tell them that we're recording it early. We're doing a fight to the death bracket showdown. All Disney Channel original movie characters.
Like we talked about last week. Right?
We mentioned it last week. Well, we're doing it, and we're doing it for real.
We're doing it hard.
This is a single elimination.
I love derailing.
25 round fight to the death.
25, yeah, dude. This
Damn,
is gonna be a four
that's gonna
round
be a
podcast.
Pretty extensive.
It's
podcast.
A 25 round fight
we're
to
start
the death
this as early
with
as we can.
A third placer.
Yes.
So
give them some examples of characters.
Here's a,
not the whole thing.
Oops. I think I just did, said go back.
Or maybe wait.
Yeah, just some
examples. James, you can blaze through the whole thing and have like you know the people. We can have our fans like you know pick who you know this they would want to win.
I don't think we have time for that.
Do we?
Maybe not.
Because we're doing it tomorrow.
Well, I can, yeah, you're right. Well,
yeah.
I can.
Oh,
I
yeah,
can,
you're right.
If you can get some people to
message this out tonight,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I can ask
you
people.
It.
Yeah, I'll retweet it.
I forgot for a second that we were actually doing.
Oh,
it
I have to sign up.
You were
sign
now
up.
Thinking about it in like
right.
a real way, like in a week in the
yeah.
future.
We have some competitors such as Miss Darbus from High School Musical. The
Brink
teacher.
From Brink.
Brink from Brink.
He's a soul skater.
I think clearly our number one seed. Actually, this guy is seeded number one. Is Mr. Mosby from The Suite Life? He's the front runner.
He's pretty high up.
He just gets things done, and he takes
yeah.
charge. So.
From the tip
The Suite Life movie. We didn't cheat. We didn't add in a TV show character.
Shall I change it to Am or Foom?
Foom.
But yeah, there you go.
Yeah. We'll let the other ones be a surprise.
All right, guys. So tune in for that next week for this ultimate Disney Channel showdown. I know you guys have been waiting for it, but there you go.
There you have it.
That's it. That's the podcast.
All right. See you later.
Arrivederci.
Be safe, y'all.
Let me three-way.
And so I wake in the morning and I step out
my way.
And I sing a deeper and get real high and loud.
Was that a sound phone? Was that a sound phone? Was that a sound phone?
Damn, those girls can eat.
Who the hell is interrupting my call?
Hey, guys. Your old pal, Cenable, here.